about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah!
Hey, Brian, can I have some Wheat Thins?
What?
Can I have some Wheat Thins?
They're Wheat Thins.
That's what I said, Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying Wheat Thins.
Say wheat.
Wheat.
Now say Wheat Thins.
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 No, you can't have any.
Have any what? Have any Wheat Thins?
It's Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins.
Can I be in your commercial?
No, it's our thing. We're doing it.
And now.
Hey, Remy, what happened to your pants?
I've never done a threesome. That's what we're doing here, right?
Our feature presentation.
I love Family Guy so much.
Yeah, it's the best.
I am kind of excited about Seth MacFarlane hosting the Academy Awards, I'll tell you that.
I think it should be very good.
He is one of those guys who seems to be able to do everything. Yeah. You know, he's a great improv guy. He's a great writer, great voice guy, great actor, great singer, dancer, does it all.
So, and you know he's going to make you laugh many times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Versus
exactly.
Some people you go, I hope they're good. I hope they're funny. I hope.
I would have been even happier to see our little friend Jimmy Kimmel do it because he did such a nice job on the Emmys, and I think eventually it'll be his turn. But I applaud the Academy for trying something new with Seth MacFarlane. Okay. Welcome in, folks, to a brand new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Tuesday. Here's a story to get us going here today. I think you'll like this. Kevin, you've had traumatic brain injury, I'm just assuming, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, there's no other possible explanation I could think of.
Right.
Here's 36-year-old former Mrs. Idaho. Apparently that's a thing. Her name is Jamie Hilton. She was on a fishing trip earlier this summer when she fell and hit her head on a rock. She fell 12 feet and hit her head on rocks.
Okay.
She's on the Today Show this week saying, you know, I don't remember much. I remember she was fishing with her husband. He cast the line. He handed me the pole. I remember the fish on the line and pulling back, and that's it. I don't remember falling. I don't remember landing. But you know what happens when you hit your head like that? It's severe brain swelling. So
right.
Doctors removed part of her skull, which is pretty typical in a case like that because, you know, your brain's got no place to go if it starts swelling up like that. Here's what fascinates me, though, is what they did while they were treating her brain and waiting for the swelling to come down is they put the pieces of her skull that they took out and sewed them into her abdomen.
What?
Which apparently is a routine surgery. You know, there was just a story the other day about another guy who's growing an ear on his arm. I mean, that's how they keep it alive. You know, while they're working on the part of his head where he lost his ear.
They put your skull in your stomach?
In your stomach. In a remarkable surgery, doctors removed 25% of Hilton's skull, scored it under the skin in her abdomen until her brain healed. Within her own body, the bone remained sterile and nourished until it could be safely reattached.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that something?
Then
they did the second surgery where they took the section of her skull from her abdomen and put it back in place. The doctor said that the bone looked great. It was in perfect condition. It was put back in place again using a small circular patch of titanium as thin as paper and some small titanium screws. It's so secure that she doesn't need to wear a helmet anymore, which she has been wearing since the brain injury. They put a helmet on her to protect her exposed brain. So she's recovering, improving, can now do household chores, and can drive again.
And they gave her a little tummy tuck while she was out.
that.
So that was cool.
Look.
That's weird.
If I've said it once, I've said it twice. I don't want to be the guy who's left on Earth who has to learn how to do all the stuff that mankind has figured out how to do because this stuff will never happen when I'm running things.
Of course not.
Somebody came up with this and somebody did it and somebody perfected it and somebody made it routine to take parts of your skull and put it in your abdomen. And that's a thing that people do.
Someone was the first person that they did it to.
You know what we should do? Maybe we should sew it into our abdomen.
What, are you crazy?
Exactly.
Wow. So congratulations to Mrs. Idaho, Jamie Hilton, who looks good, looks happy, and looks like she's going to be fine.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hi, this message is for Kevin. Mm-hmm. I just really wanted to say that you're an amazing, amazing broadcaster.
Thank you.
Your skills, I just can't believe it.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
You
provide so much entertainment.
Thank you.
And the things you say are just so, so powerful.
All right, now it's over the top.
You know what I mean? And I just want to say thank you to K-Rock for allowing a special needs person to host the radio show. I mean, that was a big risk, but it really paid off. I mean, poor Kevin with his funny lines and his toss-up. I mean, bravo. Bravo.
All right. Okay.
I think she was being sincere.
Yeah, I know you do. Corey Chalmers will be on the program today, the host of Hoarders.
Oh, yes. Hoarders.
Yes.
Oh, it's the best worst show ever.
If you haven't seen this show, it is shocking. Shocking. And very little shocks these days. But you walk into somebody's home and they have floor-to-ceiling crap. And it's always crap. It's always worthless.
I remember a guy a couple seasons ago that saved all his dog's hair because he thought if he didn't, his dog would die.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine?
No.
He wasn't trying to build a new dog?
I don't know. That's a good question.
World's largest ball of dog hair? comedian Bill Burr will be in the studio today.
Oh, he's the best.
One of our favorites?
Yep.
We have some Muse clips for you as their new CD comes out today. Very excited about that.
Finally. Seems like it's been forever.
We have Ask Normal. Normal is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Okay.
So they're going to come in. We're going to give you a chance to call in and ask your questions. And maybe we'll find out. There's a big vote going on, I guess, in Southern California today. That'll mean nothing, as they usually do.
Yeah.
Because we'll all go, hey, yeah, we're in favor of it. And then they'll go, ah, sorry. That's how it works. That's
so far.
Question one. And Breakfast with the Black Keys. We have your tickets coming up in the 6 o'clock hour for those of you that listen early.
Okay.
That's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, now that we're into October, by the way, K-Rock has given away passes to Halloween time at Disneyland or Disney's California Adventure Parks. We'll tell you when to win. It's coming up, throughout the morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show and then all week long here on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph. Now that it's October.
Nope. Shouldn't there be certain spooks outside my window?
Nope.
Yes.
Shouldn't there be...
Not until the week of.
Certain spooks
we all decided
behind
last
a tree.
We all decided. We took a vote last year. No. We said week of...
I don't remember
I don't
that happening at all.
Oh, we all did. We were all on board.
I don't remember that vote.
I think you led the vote.
I'm pretty
remember.
Sure I didn't.
You know, if we're going to believe anybody's memory...
Yeah, really.
It's not going to be yours.
You. I will tell you, though, that the tweets and the emails and the Facebook comments and everything started in earnest yesterday on the 1st when people are like,
hey,
like crazy,
what about,
right?
What
you
about got Halloween spooks?
You got like two of them.
It's not Rocktober without Halloween spooks.
I got quite a few, by the way, and I'm sure others did as well.
Sure. People, the business line was ringing.
It's a Halloween tradition, Kevin, that you can't
stop.
We'll
get to. It's just
hey,
so
a little
much
less
sweeter.
Talking, a little more playing Halloween spooks.
It's just so much.
There we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, that feels good.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
That means the season is here.
Ooh ah, ooh ah. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
No, no.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And as Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
Ah, that did feel good.
No way. No way. Get real.
Like a warm hug.
It's like...
it turns into a grope that makes you very uncomfortable.
Stop it. It's like your first pumpkin spice latte of the fall season, isn't it?
It is. And it's 108 degrees out. A little bit of a nice fall hot drink. And your brain's exploding from heat frustration. Drew Barrymore had a baby. Congratulations, Drew. Little baby girl. She and her husband, Will Kopelman, welcomed their first daughter into the world. Little Olive Kopelman. Oh, Olive. Oh, Olive. It's funny because Drew Barrymore is the voice of an animated special, Christmas special, called Olive the Other Reindeer.
Oh.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe she named it after her reindeer character. Kat Deely got married this weekend. Host of So You Think You Can Dance. She's just so hot.
She is something.
Yeah. Married a comedian named Patrick Keelty. He's an Irishman. They got married in Rome over the weekend. Congratulations to those guys. And Glamour magazine has a poll every year where they ask its female readers, I guess male readers too, if you happen to read Glamour magazine, who is the sexiest man in the world? Well, they've released their list, excuse me, for this year. You want the top 20 or just the top 10?
Oh.
I think 10's enough.
10's
we're talking dudes.
All right, Henry Cavill, soon to be seen as Superman in Man of Steel.
Okay.
He was
hot.
In the Tudors. He's a very attractive gentleman. James McAvoy.
Mm-hmm.
9 on the list. Paul Wesley. I'm not familiar with Paul Wesley.
No,
anyone?
Nor am I.
Got anything?
No.
Taylor Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Of course, King knows. He would be your typical glamour reader.
That's right. He cuts the pictures out and puts them all over his room. Taylor Lautner, 7th on the list, dropping from 2 last year.
The Talking Dog?
Talking Dog dropped 5 spaces. Robert Downey Jr., 6th.
Wow. Is he the oldest guy on the list?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh.
Benedict Cumberbatch is 5th.
Oh, Benedict.
He's he is Sherlock Holmes in the British series, the BBC series
I like
Sherlock.
That.
And he's soon to be seen as Khan in the reboot of the Star Trek franchise, in the new Star Trek movie. Michael Fassbender's 4th. Johnny Depp is 3rd. I believe he may be the oldest man on the list. Tom Hiddleston. Loki from the Avengers.
Wow. Wow.
Really?
2nd on the list.
Wow.
Loki with his pokey stick.
Really?
The Loki pokey.
What a surprise.
Yeah, I was surprised too. And number one, any guesses? The sexiest man in the world?
Ryan Gosling.
Not Ryan Gosling.
That's a great guess for
Thank
what,
you.
Though, right?
I don't think Gosling, let me see if Gosling's even on the list. Oh, he's 17th. He's 17th on the list out of the top
40. Well, I was going to say Pitt. Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt is not even in the top 20.
Wow, times have changed.
They
not
sure
Clooney,
have.
Because
he's the guy that plays Loki
Clooney's,
is 2nd.
Clooney's not in the top 20 either.
Interesting.
All right, so sexiest, what is it, category sexiest man in the world?
Yep. According to Glamour magazine,
John Goodman.
John Goodman, number one, absolutely. Yes.
I got it.
Ryan Reynolds? No, I don't even see him on the list here.
Is it Sugar Bear from Here Comes Honey Boo Boo?
It is Sugar Bear. Yeah.
I don't know.
Alexander Skarsgård was 14th.
Oh yeah.
Christian Bale was 18th. Tom Hardy was 20th. Chris Hemsworth was 19th.
Huh.
Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
From True Blood is 15th.
Come on, Lisa. This is your area.
Lisa?
No.
Is it obvious?
Start thinking with your jam box.
All the ones I love her.
Are we going to kick ourselves?
Yeah, you are.
Our
Pats. Really?
Dave was right. Robert Pattinson was
Are you kidding me?
Yep. Robert Pattinson. Number one sexiest man in the world.
Are you kidding me?
My Vin JJ rejects that.
According to the readers of Glamour magazine.
No!
Yep. How about that?
Nine!
Wow. Dumb list.
That's weak.
He was number one last year, too, by the way.
Weak.
What?
The ladies
based
love him.
Based on those movies.
And by ladies, you mean 12-year-olds.
The ladies love him. And Jack White wasn't happy with the crowd he was playing to at Radio City Music Hall on Saturday night. He was giving his first solo concert there, and the New York Daily News reports he walked off the stage after playing for just an hour, yelling, "Jesus Christ, is this an NPR convention?" Apparently the audience was too attentive and listening to him. They weren't quite loud and rowdy enough.
Enjoy it.
And he blamed them and walked off the stage. That's always rich when a performer blames the audience for not being excited enough. Maybe you're not doing your job if you can't whip them into a frenzy. Anyway, he came back the second night and performed a full 85-minute set. Maybe it's because the crowd from Saturday night was demanding their money back and returning their merchandise in the lobby.
Wow.
So he didn't have a great run there at Radio City. Today's celebrity birthdays are on my desk in the other room. So, look it up yourself, people. What am I? What am I, your nanny? For God's sakes, show some intuitiveness, some stick-to-itiveness. Just do it. Just look it up.
Why don't you bring in your piece of paper?
I forgot. Oh, here it is. Oh, hey. Thanks, Natalie. Intern Natalie just brought it into me. Sting is 61. Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos is 58. Tiffany of the Mall Tours. And, of course, the sci-fi horror movies, too. She's 41 years old. Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite is 39. And Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes is 24. I have no idea what any of those words mean, but I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Stryker here at K-Rock sat down with Muse recently to talk about their new record coming out today called The Second Law. You'll hear parts of the interview and parts of the album coming up later on this hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Bill Burr, the famous comedian on the program today, and the host of Hoarders, Corey Chalmers. That's all coming up right now. How about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO? What are people talking about?
They are talking about my favorite caller ever.
Oh, I know.
Crazy lady.
Yes.
Crazy lady who is convinced that Obama tried to roofie her, amongst other things. None of the stuff she calls in with makes much sense. And I think that's what's catching on with people. Now people are calling with their impressions of Crazy Lady. Here's Crazy Lady.
The sweater is actually at Subway, where they attempted to roofie me for the third time. Do you trust them?
I do not.
I don't, because they should have been able to roofie you the first or second time.
Good point.
And this dude calls in and does an impression.
Sneaking outside of your bedroom window when you're a teenager does not make it okay for Barack Obama He does not.
He went a long way with that one.
That was a great impression, though, wasn't it? And then crazy lady calls back about Robert Redford.
Robert Redford's threats of roofing, let's just say Charles Manson already called him iffy.
What's her obsession with Charles Manson and with roofies?
I don't know. Everything involves roofies. A lot involved Charles Manson. But I didn't know Charles Manson called Robert Redford iffy.
I did not know that either.
That would have changed everything. Another impression.
Barack Obama didn't get me. I love that lady.
Me too. A suggestion.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you should put a joke on Green Day when they come to the Red Bull soundstage. You should have a timer just like the iHeart Music Festival in the background and have it say like 30 minutes left and then have it say like 3.5 hours left. So make them play even longer.
Okay. We're going to get back to that. Thank you.
Noted. We'll write that down. Thank you. Longtime listener, Dewan.
Good morning, Kevin Levine. This is Dewan. Haven't talked to you guys for a long time. So what's up? What's new?
What's up? What's new, Kevin and Bean?
What's up? What's new? Breakfast with the Black Keys.
That's okay.
It says an answering machine. Does he know it's an answering machine? We can't really respond to that.
Hey, guys. I'm calling about what was lacking that went through your mind before you thought you were going to die. I got in a bad car accident and thought I was going to die. And unfortunately, the last thing that went through my mind was, damn, I'm going to miss the day they fire beer mugs.
There you go. There you go. You might not, sir.
Bean is a multitasker, and he likes to do things while on the air, and occasionally other people hear them.
Okay, first it was Bean's breathing, then it was Bean's squeaky chair, now it's the f***ing mouse. Click, 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 click. No, no, hi, Lisa. I'm too pissed off right now.
I tell Bean from time to time, hey, dude, we can hear the clicking, but... He loves it. Yeah. He loves to click.
It's not that I love it. It's just, so what? It's not that big a deal.
Well, that guy is called. It bugs him.
Well, he needs to get over
it. Well,
it
bugs me.
It's life, and sometimes life is noisy.
Would it kill you not to click while we're on the air?
It's not going to hurt anyone.
Would it kill you?
I think it would kill him.
I'm very busy.
Hey, guys. You want to know what I wish your show sounded like? Take the hint.
Wow. That hurts.
That does hurt.
Honey Boo Boo, June, you know, it makes me want to kill Whitey, and I'm Whitey!
Guy wants to take his own life because of Honey Boo Boo.
That show is a sensation. Now millions of people are tuning in, and how many people are rooting for them versus how many are making fun of them, do you think?
Probably a little of both, don't you think?
I would guess most making fun of them.
I have fallen very deeply in love with that family, I must be honest.
See? And you hated them at first.
I did.
I'm not sure I can stand behind this song.
A little bit of Kevin in my life. A little bit of Dean wiping my ass. A little bit of Lisa in my pants. A little bit of Ralph talking his shit. A little bit of beer mug getting fired. Actually, a lot of that happening.
I can get behind some of that song.
I can't get behind this dude at all.
You guys had One Hit Wonder Day, and you didn't play the best One Hit Wonder that Rock 2012 dropped by Omar of K-Rock. So what, he sounds drunk.
Let's not go back
so
to that.
So what, he can't speak.
Good point.
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs.
So what, he sounds drunk.
Yeah.
So what, he can't speak.
Come on.
Needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRO. We've got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake, and you put it out on the ground, and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like. Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years. We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red. Now, Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. And how often have you used it? Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one? Where is your...
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs.
E Fiesta 2007.
Oh my God!
I saw him as a What do you call him?
I don't.
Guy that does color commentary. By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not. There's no all that. There's not. It's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way you heard it.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah.
All
right. Not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it, like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
All right.
Hours.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
Now that's par for the course.
I got it.
That's a toss-up.
You need
the disadvantage in this story. When good men fail to stand up, bad triumphs, or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
Right. What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. All it's right. The Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude.
I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
All right. Good. Thanks.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
So fun.
This is fun. All right. If you want to go to the Breakfast with the Black Keys, call now. 1-800-520-1067. We are having breakfast with the Black Keys. We want you to join us. How do we?
They're going to let you interview the Black Keys, aren't they? That's what's going to happen. After what we just heard, they're going to put you in a microphone in front of our special guests.
No, we need the audience to ask the questions. That's the problem. Okay. They don't want me speaking.
We got a game we're going to play. That's all we have to tell you. But if you're a Black Keys fan and you want to join us, call now. 1-800-520-1067. That's coming up next right here on the world famous K-Rock. Latest Kevin and Bean breakfast is going to be with a little band called The Black Keys, and it's going to be Friday morning here on the world famous K-Rock. They're going to be live with us in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We would like you to attend, see the band play live, help us answer questions. If you're not able to be there in person, by the way, you can watch it online at krock.com, and you can, of course, listen to it here on the radio. But if you want to go, we need you on the phone right now. What's this game called?
Total Recall. That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Kevin and Bean's breakfast with The Black Keys. With the Black Keys, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah!
I don't know what happened to Omar, but he did that "oh yeah" thing one time, and ever since then he's loved it so much he puts it in everything he does.
I think I love it.
I do too. I do too.
All right, here's the way the game is played. It is called Total Recall. Basically, there's 10 seconds on the clock. We're just going to ask you to name five things in a category. We'll give you the category. You just name five things of your choice in that category. And if you do, you go into the drawing, and then Lisa tells us who wins at the end. Who's our first contestant?
First contestant is Michael, a payroll specialist. Hi, Michael.
Hey there.
Morning, Michael. I think you may have the easiest one of all. Again, 10 seconds on the clock. We're giving away tickets. You'll be qualified to join us for the Breakfast with the Black Keys. Your category is Name 5 Famous Black People. Go.
Morgan Freeman, Mike Epps, Denzel Washington, Isaiah Washington.
Sorry.
He only had 4. I'm so sad for you.
Out of time.
You were going great with all the Washingtons, though. I'm surprised you didn't come up with George Washington Carver, but thanks for playing.
All right. Let's go to Irwin. Hi, Irwin.
Hey, what's up?
All this sounds very easy until you're on the receiving end and you have 10 seconds.
Yes.
Not very long. All right.
Pressure's on. All right. 10 seconds on the clock. Here we go. You might have seen this one coming. Name 5 things you might use a key to unlock. Good luck.
Car, house,
locker. Gate.
Oh.
Wow. Wow, that hurts. Yeah, motorcycle, apartment, boat, safe deposit, post office box, a lot of other things. But nice try. You got 4 out of 5 as well. This is a tough game today.
Yes, it is. Let's go to Christian. Hello, Christian.
Right here.
All right.
All right, Christian, good luck. You know how the game is played. You're trying to get in the drawing for Breakfast with Black Keys. Yours is, I hope, easy for you. Name 5 consonants in the alphabet.
I'm bad at this one. That's B, C, E.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. Did he say E at the end or D? I think I may have dinged him on a vowel. But
doesn't
no.
matter. He didn't get enough anyway.
Yeah, B, C, D, F, G, H, J. Anything but vowels would have been fine. All right, so no one's qualified so far,
could
right?
Could I make a suggestion? If you have 10 seconds total, don't spend 5 of it saying, oh, this is going to be difficult. Because you only have 5 more. Let's go to Lucy, who is a preschool teacher. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Kevin, look at the clock and tell me, are we into sudden death yet?
I believe we are, yes.
Sudden death. All right, Lucy, so if you can come up with 5 in this category, you'll win tickets to join us Friday for Black Keys. You ready to play?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Name 5 types of candy bars. Good luck.
Sure. Snickers, Milky Way, Toblerone, Laffy Taffy's, Smarties, I don't know.
I don't think Laffy Taffy is a candy bar either. Taffy?
I wasn't sure about that. Smarties Taffy, definitely not, isn't, though.
Smarties is not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Lucy. Thank you for playing, though.
Sorry.
By the way, there was Three Musketeers, Almond Joy, Mounds, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Tootsie Roll, Twix. I mean, there's a lot of them, but again, as Kevin pointed out, when the pressure's on, they don't all come easy to you.
Let's try one more. Robbie. Hello, Robbie.
How's it going, guys?
All right, now listen. No one's gotten it so far, so if you get it, you win.
All right, cool.
There we go.
All right, 10 seconds on the clock. Name 5 of Santa's reindeer.
Donner, Blitzen, Rudolph, Cupid, and Dasher and Prince.
Yes!
Nicely done.
With time to spare, congratulations. We'll see you Friday for Breakfast with the Black Keys. Thanks a lot for playing Total Recall.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. We'll see you next Friday morning. This music's too long. I feel like I should say something else before we go. Total
Recall. As you know, Tuesdays are the days that new albums are available for download. Muse is finally back with their 6th album called The Second Law. The songs that I've heard about it, it's Muse, but it's like Muse of the future a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I love about this band is you put in the CD and you go, okay, I don't know what to expect from this. And right. it's all over the place. It's a genius record, I think.
It's pretty it's progressive rock in places, but our man Stryker sat down with Muse not too long ago to talk about this record. And I guess, what do we have here? We've got an interview and also some songs, some selections from the new album,
that's right?
That's right.
All of the above.
Matt and Dom from Muse. Great to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you. How's it going?
The Second Law is coming out very soon. So my question, I'll go to you, Matt, first. Was the process making this record different from previous?
Yeah, there's some things that are different. Some things are the same. We wanted to produce it again ourselves. So that was similar to how we did Resistance. We started off thinking we may get a producer in, but we quickly realized that we just love doing it. You know, 3 of us collaborating together on the production really makes an interesting result, you know. And 3-piece makes it easy democracy to get decisions done. And so, yeah, apart from that, but some of the things we did differently are kind of for certain songs. We had different approaches to anything we've done before. You know, we kind of created these challenges to make sure that the song would come out kind of differently to how it was rehearsed in the first place. In the case of Follow Me, it was a track that we kind of rehearsed and sort of recorded as a kind of rock track and then decided to get rid of everything and do it all again with electronics. And then a song like Unsustainable was where we kind of built up a kind of, inside the computer, kind of built up a kind of sort of electronic style sort of build up to kind of drop kind of bass line type thing, all electronic, and then try to play it with real instruments to see if we could simulate it. So those 2 songs are kind of opposites, and there's a couple of tracks with Chris singing.
Let's talk about that before you hold on. Sorry, yeah. Chris singing on the album, how did this come about? Did he have songs written that he came to you guys, Dom, if you could take this?
He had some songs. I mean, you know, Chris was, you know, he's kind of like he's his head's a little clearer these days, you know?
Right.
And he, you know, he was drinking a lot for years. And, you know, since being kind of sober, he's like, he's changed and he's cleared up. His thoughts are clearer, you know? So I think, you know, creatively and emotionally, it became easier for him to kind of communicate his ideas. So he had some songs and, you know, wanted to sing them, and we were like, well, cool. It was something different for the band. We'd never done it before. I think it's something he's probably wanted to do in the past, but just hasn't really been able to do it or had the opportunity to do it or something like that. So, yeah, it's a very different thing.
And there's a couple songs I would love to talk about. Madness. And now I need to know, is this real love or is it just madness keeping us afloat? One of the lines is it real love or is it just madness? Some kind of madness is taking control. I've seen the light. That's what you need. This sounds like a very personal song.
Yeah, I wrote that song having a fight with my girlfriend, and nothing particularly over the top, but just having one of those moments where she leaves you for the day to think about it. And I very rarely write songs that cathartically, if you know what I mean. It's been a long time since I wrote a song that way. The band weren't with me at the time, so all I had was like a drum machine and a synthesizer. So I sort of just put this very, very minimal thing together and started singing on it, and just came with a verse chorus idea. And I wasn't quite sure if it would work with the band, actually, but then when we started making the album, I showed it to Dom and Chris. They really loved it, and they sort of took it to another level by adding these extra parts at the end and everything, and it became a much bigger song. Probably my favorite song that I've ever written, I'd say. Yeah.
And I was not expecting the first single to have that particular sound. I love the song, but the whole sound of the album, is it similar to that? Do you think there's three different sounds, two different sounds? What can fans expect from the new Muse album, Dom?
I think there's about 12 different sounds, one for each track. That's what it feels like. I mean, we said it before, it's really, really diverse. I mean, from like the first song, Supremacy, which is a big, huge, stadium-sized rock riff, kind of rock track. The time it has come to destroy your supremacy. And then going to Madness, which is really kind of very minimal and intimate and electronic, completely different. You know, there's very electronic sounding stuff like Follow Me, so it's really mixed, you know, it's really diverse. But I think it just makes for an interesting listen, makes you want to like listen to it again, and the more you hear it, the more you kind of get to know, and the more you hear, I suppose. So, and I've always loved albums like that.
Follow Me, I will not desert you, you can trust in me, I'll protect you. Again, it sounds like a personal song. We've all grown up over the last 12, 13 years since this particular album came out. There it is, Origin of Symmetry. Mm-hmm. All of us are in a different state. Is that seems like a personal song again, maybe some family related, Matt.
Yeah, it's quite a personal track. That one, that was probably the only song that I wrote around the time of having the baby. I had a baby last year, and that was an amazing experience. So I wrote that song pretty much around that. The beginning of that song actually has a recording of my baby's heartbeat just before he was born.
Wow.
And I sort of built up the tempo of the track and the rhythm and sort of also the orchestration around that. So, yeah, that was like that was my becoming a dad track.
The Second Law, the sixth studio album from Muse. What is The Second Law, Matt?
I got no idea. The Second Law, what do you think? Second Law comes from the law of thermodynamics, which is kind of about energy, how energy functions. I became interested in energy decline and also how humans seem to be always, and ourselves, seem to be always battling against the fact that energy is depleting, and both in ourselves and our bodies and the planets and obviously in the solar system and so on. And I kind of wanted to read behind what was going on behind all this economic crisis and stuff that seemed it was on the news all the time when we were making the album. It became like really boring. Every time you turn the news on, it was like banking crisis. So I just kind of wanted to find out a bit what was going on behind that, and I sort of came up with this thing about Second Law of Thermodynamics, how energy's running out and we seem to be fighting against it, battling against it.
The fundamental laws of thermodynamics will place fixed limits on technological innovation and human advancement. In an isolated system, entropy can only increase. A species set on endless growth.
We gotta wrap it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congrats on everything.
Cool.
The Second Law. I'm Stryker, and that has been our interview in this lovely studio. Goodbye, everybody. Cool.
Since 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws has been working to make it legal for us to smoke weed.
Woo!
How are they doing with that so far, do you think?
Hey, well, look, it's an uphill climb. We have dispensaries now. We've never had that before.
For now.
That's a step.
They're closing as fast as they're opening.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the executive director of Normal, Mr. Alan St. Pierre, who joins us in studio coming up next here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. By the way, he better be bringing us presents. That's all I'm saying, if he's coming in to see us today.
Yeah, we know how you love to smoke out.
6:55, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know, next month, the anniversary of James Bond, 50th anniversary.
You couldn't.
James Bond, the very first 007 film, Dr. No, was released in 1962. Now 50 years later, Daniel Craig returns as James Bond in Skyfall. Adele will be singing the song for that. You can download it, I think, on Thursday. It's available. You can check it out. The reason I bring this up is because Garbage is playing at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on Thursday, December the 6th.
Right.
Tickets go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m. If you'd like to see Garbage, and why wouldn't you? I'm going to go tonight, I hope. I had kind of like the flu last night.
Ooh.
Yeah, shakes and sweats and chills and all that kind of good stuff.
Make it out with anyone here today.
We'll see how I hold up today and whether I can get there tonight to see them at the Palladium. But if you'd like to see him at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on Thursday, December the 6th, why don't you call me right now at 1-800-520-1067 and tell me what James Bond movie theme Garbage recorded and released. They did a Bond theme, too. One of my favorites. Call now. If you have first person through with the right answer, you win a pair of tickets to see Garbage at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. Women are allowed now to make money just like men. Can you imagine?
Been that way for a while.
Yeah, but that's not right, right? They can't make as much as us.
That's absurd.
Want me to put some kind of cap on it? It's dangerous.
I kind of do.
Next thing you know, they'll be voting.
That's also
craziness.
Yeah.
Forbes magazine has released their list of the highest paid women in showbiz this week. You may be surprised at the top 10.
Highest paid women in showbiz.
Forbes magazine, you know, used to be a business magazine. All they do is release showbiz lists about how much money people make.
That's true. Well, there can't be a change at number one. Number one is forever, right?
Yes, I think now and forever.
Yeah.
It is Oprah Winfrey with $165 million.
Yeah, she's doing all right. But I
thought once her show went away, that a lot of that money would go away, no?
No. Huh. Her network, I guess, although not a ratings bonanza, still is very profitable, and she's got a bunch of other stuff going on as well.
Does my butt look big?
Yes.
A lot of that money's going right to the butt.
Here's your top 10. Judy Shineland, Judge Judy, $45 million, makes her number 10 on the list.
Floors me every time.
Katy Perry, a little over $45 million. She's ninth on the list. Giselle Bundchen is eighth. Jennifer Lopez at $52 million is seventh. Lady Gaga, with a little over $52 million, is sixth. Rihanna, $53 million.
Wow.
Made her fifth on the list. You have any guesses at the 4, 3, and 2 slots?
Well, T-Swizzle has to be on the list, right?
Ugh.
F you. Is she not?
She is. She's third.
How much she make?
But just T-Swizzle.
Yeah,
so
stop it.
Creepy. It's just creepy.
Adolf Swindler. How much did she make?
$57 million.
I can't believe that.
Oh, my goodness. I got all that money. Oh, what a surprise.
I did?
I had no idea I was making money.
I never thought I would make money.
Oh, ball peen hammer right between the eyes with her. That is so sweet.
22 years old. Hater. $56 million a year. Unbelievable.
Can't wait for her to develop a horrible heroin addict habit. Ellen DeGeneres is fourth on the list.
Mm. Oh, there you go. Okay.
About $53.5 million. What do you think, two? Right behind Oprah. Who's two with $58 million? Who's number two?
Well, is Madonna still bringing it in with her tours? No?
Yeah, okay. Give us a hint. Is it music?
It is music.
Music. Beyonce.
Mm-mm.
Not Beyonce.
Not in the top 10.
Wow. That surprises me, too. All right. Geez. Who
else?
You're
going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked.
Shocked.
Shocked, I say.
Country?
Shocked.
Country music?
No.
Gaga.
No.
Oh. Gaga was already said.
I said Gaga was number six. Mentioned that earlier.
What about Gaga?
Yes, yes. Gaga's number two. No, that was number six, as I mentioned previously. Come on, strap on your thinking helmets, people.
You said it was going to be a surprise. Kelly Clarkson.
I didn't say it was going to be a surprise. I said it was going to be a shock.
Shock. Okay. Kelly Clarkson. Shock.
No.
Carrie Underwood.
Nope. I said not country. Why don't you people listen when I talk?
Barbara Streisand.
You're putting the pressure on.
We have habits, Ralph. They're hard to break.
I don't know.
We give up. I don't know. We give up.
We're bad.
Britney Spears.
No way.
Shocked.
$58 million for Britney Spears.
Only because of the judging thing?
She did get $15 million salary. She's pulling down from Simon Cowell's The X Factor. So that does pad her income. But $58 million.
Touring?
$58 million.
I'm a fiend, but still.
But still, I mean, look, she was. I expected that kind of money in 1999. I don't expect that kind of money today. Which
that's
she's an old
why
lady.
I said you'd be shocked.
Wow.
TLC, the cable network's finally doing a show about TLC, the musical act. T-Boz is getting her own reality show.
Is she a freak of some kind?
Nope.
She missing a leg, an arm, an
just
eye?
Just a person.
Huh. She has two thumbs, though, right, on one hand?
Nope. Totally T-Boz is the name of the new reality show on TLC. It'll cover the documentary of her life as a single mom struggling to reboot her singing career. Are we out of reality shows?
Yes.
Are we out of people to give reality shows to? Now we're down to T-Boz.
She missing an ear?
No, she's just a person.
Is she Breaking Amish?
No, she's T-Boz.
Huh.
What the hell's going on?
What is
they're
going on?
They're giving T-Boz a show.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're gonna have to give us one soon. It's going to have to happen. Mm. They're down to T-Boz, people.
I don't know that that's the I think, lowest they need to get. Doesn't Toni Braxton still have a reality
show
she
somewhere,
does. Too?
She does.
Braxton Family Adventures, or whatever the hell it's called. It's about her whole family.
And I think Brandy maybe has a show. It does seem like you're onto something. They do give them to everyone.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Annie Leibovitz, the legendary photographer, is 63 years old today. Sting of the Police turned 61. Lorraine Bracco, Sopranos and Goodfellas, 58 years old today. Tiffany, 41 years old. Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite turns 39. And Bud Gaw from Sublime and the Long Beach Dub All-Stars, 45 years old today. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Juan on line one?
Yep.
Hey, Juan, what was the name of the James Bond theme that garbage recorded and released?
The World Is Not Enough.
The World Is Not Enough, indeed. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to get to see Garbage at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on Thursday, December the 6th.
Cool.
Take your one.
You were underwhelmed, Juan. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Gaga? It's outrageous.
Good guess.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
New Music Tuesday, by the way. Muse, The Second Law, available for download everywhere today and in stores, too, if you're old school. We're going to play one of the new songs from Muse later this hour called Madness, which I believe Matt, the lead singer, told Stryker was his favorite song he's ever written. So we'll hear that one coming up in just a few minutes. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Justin Bieber was on stage in Glendale, Arizona. And was in the middle of a song and threw up right on stage. Just puked
yes,
right
there.
God. Right on stage.
Hottest YouTube video going on the internets yesterday was Justin Bieber singing and dancing his little heart out and then basically just turning away from the audience and just ralphing. It was not a pretty sight. That's for sure.
It was a pretty sight. Because it was Justin Bieber.
And Justin Bieber joins us once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Justin.
What are all the questions, bro?
We just said hey.
We just said hey. That's all.
Yeah, like you said it like hey.
We haven't even asked any questions yet. Just hey.
All right. What's going on, eh?
Why all the questions? How you feeling, Justin? We were worried about you when we saw that footage Saturday night in Arizona.
Everybody's making a big deal over nothing, eh? I was just out there on stage, just rocking and rolling.
Nope,
not really.
You weren't rocking and rolling.
I was dancing so hard, I think I just upset my stomach a little bit.
I see. Uh-huh. You weren't sick? You didn't have the flu?
No, I was just rocking too hard.
You don't rock
You don't rock
at all.
Woo!
No, you're doing pop and dance music.
I rock.
Why
I rock like a hurricane, eh?
No, you're the furthest thing from rocking like a hurricane. Why didn't you walk about five steps off stage and vomit out of sight of the audience?
Well, it kind of caught me by surprise, eh? I was out there just, you know, lip syncing to my track the way I do.
Right.
And suddenly it just came over me. It's like, wow, this music's horrible.
Yeah, you heard it, right?
I heard it in the speakers. I was like, ooh, if I sing one more note, I'm just going to, ooh. Even thinking about it now, just.
Oh, God. Justin.
Are you still sick?
No, I just thought about some of that music, eh? It's like the. Baby.
That is hard. Too much vomit. Is that a swimming pool worth of vomit there? What's happening?
No, it got a little deep here on the floor in the kitchen. I'm kind of waiting around. I guess that milk was a bad choice, eh?
Hey, that was a
funny tweet you had.
That was funny.
Afterwards.
See, because it was from Anchorman from 10 years ago, right?
Right. So that was funny, eh?
Right.
Can we call back at another time when you're feeling better, when you don't...
I'm feeling fine. Okay. What do you got for me? What's going on?
Well, we were just curious because it's not the first time you've thrown up on stage. You also threw up in the Philippines one time on stage.
Yeah, I meant... Oh,
a year ago.
Just a memory of that. Just...
Oh, stop it! Please stop making that noise.
How does a little kid throw up that much?
I don't remember eating that at all. Candy corn in there.
Oh, that'll do it every time.
Yeah.
That'll do it every time.
Yeah, just thinking about it sometimes.
Oh, come on. People are trying to eat. That's a swimming pool of vomit. That is.
Stop! You must be vomiting organs by now. Stop thinking about your music. Wow!
I'm better now. I'm better now.
Good. That's terrible.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
That's got to be half your body weight. What's going on?
Remix.
Remix.
It's always nice to meet in person a guest that we've talked to on the phone many times over the years. Alan St. Pierre has joined us in studio. He is the executive director of NORML, which is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Alan, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Good day. Glad to be in L.A., La La Land.
Glad to have you here. I understand you're in town for a conference with people from all over the world trying to accomplish what this time around?
We're trying to legalize marijuana, as NORML has been trying to do since 1970. We have a conference at the Omni, and this draws people from all over the world to deal with medical marijuana, legalization, industrial hemp, anything having to do with marijuana.
How do you still have the energy to try to fight this fight, even though to us, we're a friendly audience for you? We can't imagine why this is happening. But it's been 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, after 37 years, don't you go, all right, listen, it's not working. I'm going to move on and do something else.
Well, there's no doubt that when you look at the three great social movements of the last century, women's right to vote, black and minorities enfranchisement, and now I'm 47. I've lived through the gay lesbian movement. If you'd asked me when I was altar boy, you know, whether or not people would be getting married, I'd say no way. So we are seeing this happen in our lifetimes. There's no doubt about it. It's a fait accompli that one of our states, this time around, it's probably going to be the Washington or Colorado voters are going to vote for legalization. Of course, here in California, this nation state, 2 years ago, you only voted by 3 percentage points not to legalize marijuana. So at some point, it's going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this question, and then we're going to take your calls, too, as well as we ask NORML. If you have any questions about the legalization of marijuana or on that topic, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. The question I forgot now.
Yes!
Bean was hoping.
Some stereotypes are true.
Bean was hoping that would happen.
Perfect.
I'll jump in and ask the question. It's a young – it seems to be a – you get a lot of young people's support. It seems like people, you know, who are 20 or 30 or something like that generally don't have trouble with gay marriage, generally don't have trouble with pot being legalized. What happens to those people once they go into politics and then they all of a sudden change their mind and won't stand up for those things? What's that disconnect?
That is an excellent point. We've been charting people in that age range for years. Between the ages of 18 and 25, you're all for legalization. From the time you get married and have children to the time you're about 52, you're not really in favor of these reforms. We've been charting these baby boomers now that after they turn 50, they go back to lifestyles like rock and roll, sex, marijuana, concert going, all that rest of that stuff. So we're living through this era of seeing baby boomers come back to wanting to see legalization. It's really my grandparents' era, who are the World War II generation, that frankly, regrettably, have to attritiate.
All right, I remember. I'm sorry. Go ahead, B.
But here's just as a follow up. Here's what I don't understand. We thought a lot of things were going to be a little more hopey and changey with President Obama than they perhaps have turned out to be. And I understand that it's not all his fault. It's a big job, and he's got to work within the democratic process. But he's the perfect example of a guy who's young enough to have grown up and smoked pot in college and didn't have to lie about it. Admitted that he smoked pot in college. Didn't hurt him too much. He grew up to be the president of the United States. But once he gets there, he barely mentions the drug war.
But hold on, he did. He came out and said, we're not going to enforce.
Yeah.
And that was just a bold-faced lie.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
Is it him that's enforcing?
So here's the data that's important.
All right.
Since November 11th, less than 10 months, 550 dispensaries have been shut down here in California and in Colorado. In George Bush's 8 years, they only shut down about 300. So, yeah, this has been a really regrettable change.
That's my point. The point is we've got a guy who was young, who grew up, who smoked weed, made it into office, and seems to have turned his back on all the other people who want to go in the same footsteps behind him. I don't understand why that is. Is it just so politically unpopular with some voters that politicians aren't afraid to stick their necks out on it?
Well,
I
can tell you, working a block or two from the White House for the last 20 years, that the disconnect really is in Washington, D.C., like so many other things in this country. I mean, from Seattle to Portland, Oregon, which we call Potland, to the Bay Area, to here in the L.A. Basin, of course, it's a given. This part of the country would legalize marijuana in a snap. So it's really, frankly, the mid-country that we really have to infill. I'm from New England. New England also has moved totally towards reform. So, we've just got to infill the country.
But, I mean, looking at the city of L.A., what's happening here right now is our city attorney. That's not
it's
Washington.
Maddening. It's maddening to see the city council, who have some medical marijuana users on the council themselves, be so schizophrenic about, yes, they support it, but no, they don't want to have dispensaries, and courts keep telling them to do it. Just today they're going to have to take another vote on it. So, yes, good example of the schizophrenia induced by not marijuana, but marijuana prohibition.
All right. So the question that I was going to ask when you were talking about states voting for it, what good does it do if the government's going to say it doesn't matter, it's a federal law? We don't care what you say, California.
Well, thankfully, while the federal government is intervening, and I mentioned 500 dispensaries, there are supposedly 1,000 right here in Los Angeles proper. There's about 6,000 in the United States. The federal government is not going to shut them all down. So it's now a subjective.
How do you know that?
Well, they just simply can't. For example, up where Seattle.
Yes.
Seattle right now is totally lit on fire with medical marijuana dispensaries. But if you go to Spokane, 200 miles away to the east, they don't allow them. So it's local mores and values that really drive this.
Okay, but the federal government will always have that over our heads.
The federal
right?
government will always be the velveted glove over everybody's head. Yep.
So if we vote to say it's legalized, so what?
Well, the federal government responds to the laboratories of democracy, which are our states. Here, frankly, I think California, where 1 out of 8 Americans live, if this state moves towards legalization, the country generally moves towards legalization.
Kind of
this
a tipping
the voice
point.
Of yeah. Alan St. Pierre is in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the executive director for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We're going to give you a chance to ask NORML if you want to call with any questions on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. Before we break, by the way, in the interest of fairness, there are people out there who think that drugs are bad. That's just their policy. There are some downsides to legalized marijuana, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just smoking, for example, taking smoke into your body is an unwise health decision, but is it a criminal decision? And in my lifetime, we've cut smoking in half. We didn't make it illegal. We progressively taxed it. We didn't have silly programs like the DARE program or the Partnership for Drug-Free America. So government can achieve its stated goal with something that's really dangerous and addictive.
Do you buy that marijuana is a gateway drug, as many people argue?
No. In fact, thankfully, government data indicates for every 102 people that try marijuana, one goes on to use heroin or cocaine.
And so that person was going to do it anyway, let's be honest.
So thankfully, we don't have that kind of gateway effect.
Do you think marijuana is addictive?
No. What it causes, according to the American Psychological Association, is mild psychological dependence, right up there with shopping and video game playing.
Well, it also causes obesity. Let's be honest.
Well, I think Bill Maher was right some years ago that it makes people giggle and pursue cookie dough.
That's true. Yeah, Why is it Taco Bell spending all of their money trying to get pot legalized? That's what I would ask. All right. As you can tell, Mr. St. Pierre has the answers to any question you can throw at him on this topic. 1-800-520-1067 is our number. You can ask NORML next on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Alan St. Pierre is our guest in the studio here at the Kevin and Bean Show today. He is the executive director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Hey, before we go to the calls here, Why don't they put whatever the properties that people love in pot are in a pill so the doctor can just prescribe it and then no one would have any problem with it because then it's just like every other pharmaceutical?
Been there, done that. In the 1980s, Normal sued the federal government over this prohibition on medical marijuana, and the government helped create the only pill that's available today that has anything to do with marijuana. The brand name is called Marinol. It's 100% pure THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. Soon, in about a year or two, GW Pharmaceuticals from Britain will probably be the first company to bring on a sublingual spray, a whole marijuana compound that you spray under your tongue and get the same effects.
Fantastic. Sweet. And the government won't have any reason to try to shut that down, right? Because it's just another drug.
Exactly. In fact, that company has a $500 million market cap with Bayer as the distributor. So I say this is certainly going to happen very soon. We're going to see this product in the United States. It's already available in Europe and Canada.
Wow. I'm moving to Europe and Canada. All right. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for you to ask Normal.
I ask Normal in the morning. I ask Normal at night. I ask Normal in the afternoon. It makes me feel all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what side of the argument he's on.
Thank you, Omar. All right, let's go to Will on line 8 to get us going here. We have time for just a few questions for Alan St. Pierre. Will, hi, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you, guys. Good morning, Kevin and Bean, longtime listener.
Thank you.
Good morning, Normal. I have a question that I've been researching for about a week now. I'm looking to become an EMT and then on my way to become a firefighter. And I assume that I can't hold that position because it's a government position with a medical card. However, are they able to look in my past medical records or whatever records you have to see that I had a medical card for a condition and be able to discriminate against that?
No, the government cannot go back and look to see if you had that. That's under something called HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A, a government law. But everybody should know, whether you work for a private company or the government, if there's drug testing, even if you are a lawful medical marijuana patient, you can still be fired. So that is important for everybody to know.
And that seems so unfair, right? I mean, if Will would be a great firefighter or EMT, why deprive him of the ability to serve the community just because he has a medical marijuana card? It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. And everybody agrees that you shouldn't be employed or at work impaired, and therefore you should have for-cause testing. But the idea of not allowing somebody to use a drug that their doctor prescribes to them, as long as they're not using it in the workplace, it should be no big deal.
Thank you for the call, Will. Let's go to line 1, please. This is going to be Josh, who's got a good question, I think. 1-800-520-1067. You're on with Alan St. Pierre. Go ahead.
Hi, Josh. Hello. Hi.
Morning, boys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
My question is, in lobbying for the legalization, as far as the state and maybe federal impact as far as taxation, similar to tobacco and alcohol, if there would be any positive impact, obviously, on the budget, bottom line, things like that.
Dude, California is super healthy financially.
California doesn't need the money. What are you talking about? I think his question he's trying to ask is, why not propose to tax it? People might be a lot more likely to want to legalize it if they saw it as a financial boom.
Well, here in California alone, it would probably be about a $4 to $6 billion a year crop.
This is so stupid! I can't believe it!
In the United States, it's already the fourth or fifth largest cash crop in the United States. If you take away the cost of enforcing the laws, that's about $10 to $15 billion a year. This would probably be about a $30 to $40 billion windfall if we would simply stop what is now a 75-year failed prohibition.
Let's go to Andre. Andre is on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask Normal. Andre, you're on.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hello, lovely Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your question for Alan?
I was wondering, why are the government so focused on shutting so many dispensaries down in Southern California when all the big grow ops are all in Northern California? Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are focusing a lot in Southern California. The attorneys, both local, the federal attorneys that are based here, state attorney and local attorney have, shall we say, a real hard-on for medical marijuana in the valley here. And also, the state laws do not inoculate the individuals, like, say, in Colorado, where they're actually regulated and taxed and licensed. So there's a lot of mishigas here in the valley regarding medical marijuana and the law enforcement. Hmm.
Did he just swear on the air?
I don't know. I didn't understand. I was writing that down so I could look it up later.
Alan, what should concerned citizens be doing if they're not too high to help? What can people do? Does it make any difference at all to contact your lawmaker, or should we be joining normal? Should we be going to meetings? What is the average guy to do?
Sure. Throughout the last 42 years, the way that these laws have changed, 17 states have medical marijuana laws, 14 states have decriminalized it, and we're going to see this election period probably one state breakthrough on legalization. So people should surely be in touch with their local politicians, their state politicians. Join any marijuana law reform group, including Normal, and definitely be an active citizen because, as you can imagine, freedom is not raining down on us like precipitation. We definitely have to be engaged citizens, and the only reason why we have as much progressivity as we do on these laws is because citizens have been engaged.
I don't know whether it'll be a topic at all on the debates tomorrow night, but so far it has been invisible, this topic between Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney in the campaign.
Well, thank you for bringing it up. Today's Normal blog post is demanding that one of these presidential debates have a question about marijuana. I just mentioned you use raw numbers here. There's 300 million Americans. About 140 million of us live in states or cities where marijuana has been decriminalized or medicalized. That's a third of the country. Surely these presidential candidates should address this issue.
The website is normal, N-O-R-M-L, no A, .org, and you can follow them on Twitter at normal as well. Alan St. Pierre, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks. Have a very hempful day.
Comedian Bill Burr joins us next, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:53.
Jean-Claude Van Damme versus Steven Seagal.
It is on. Like Donkey Kong.
What's on? Are they fighting?
Battle. Battle Royale.
Are they fighting physically?
Yes.
All right.
Jean-Claude Van Damme told Star Magazine he would love to take Steven Seagal on in a fight, but he thinks Steven would say no because he's too fat.
He is fat.
He is fat.
He's fat.
Steven, when contacted for his response, said, bring it on.
Love it.
It's on. It's happening.
Two old guys that shouldn't be fighting. Love it.
Just slapping at each other. Bunch of old Fruit Loops.
I'm a huge tub of lard.
Although that Stallone Van Damme fight at the end of Expendables 2 was spectacular.
That was pretty good.
It's pretty strong. Paris Hilton got herself and her new boyfriend into a bit of trouble. Her 21-year-old boy toy, River Vipery. River Vipery is the name.
That isn't a name.
They were partying in Vegas the other night at a nightclub when Paris started making out with another chick.
All right.
Apparently River Vipery freaked out.
What's wrong with him?
What? Look, he's 21 years old. He's probably a little insecure, a little jealous, whatever. So he got hostile and ended up punching the other woman's boyfriend right in the mouth.
What?
So the girls are making out and the guys are fighting. Typical night in a club in Vegas. Rumor has it Paris fled the scene. The victim wanted to press charges, and River was popped for misdemeanor battery. So that's what you get for dating Paris Hilton, River Vipery.
It should surprise no one that Paris Hilton might kiss another girl.
No. Just do anything for a look
for
at
the show
factor.
Of it, yeah.
T-Boz from TLC is going to get her own reality show. Ironically enough, it's going to be on the TLC cable network. They had to give her a show.
They didn't have a choice
TLC
just because it's named TLC?
Had to give TLC a show, yeah. She is going to air next year on the network with a show called Totally T-Boz. Who's naming these shows, by the way?
And what do you think the level of interest is on a member of a band that broke up 15 years ago?
Being not interested.
This is about her life as a single mom and her struggle to reboot her singing career.
Right?
Not interested.
Come
on.
Why does anyone care about her or that or it?
But it's Totally T-Boz.
I don't think you understand.
I don't think you understand. It's Totally T-Boz.
Stop it.
Does she live with Honey Boo Boo? Unless she lives with Honey Boo Boo, I'm not watching.
No, she's on her own as a single mom struggling to reboot her singing career. TLC usually airs shows about freaks and stuff like that. T-Boz, I guess, counts because she is missing a left eye.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
I'm just saying.
That was pretty well crafted.
Actually, a listener sent me that, so I appreciate the help today. I could use all the help I can get. Send your jokes on in. I'm running out of my own. We talked about this a little bit yesterday when news broke, but congratulations to my buddy Seth MacFarlane. He will be the host of the Oscars this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. He takes the stage on February 24th for the 85th Annual Academy Awards. He will be host, singing and doing voices, and I'm sure Stewie and Peter Griffin will stop by, and there'll be some hilarious hijinks. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Seth does. Should be strong. And if you've been curious to hear the new Adele song...
Yes.
Because she is the new Bond theme song singer. The movie Skyfall comes out next month, but you won't have to wait so long to hear the song. You can download the track on Thursday. You'll be able to hear Skyfall, the theme to the movie starring Daniel Craig in his third outing as 007.
What's your relationship to Bond themes? I'm a big fan. I get excited by
them. I like most
them.
Of them.
Every time around.
Didn't like Madonna's. I thought that kind of blew.
Yeah. There have been some weak ones. The Sheryl Crow one was awful.
That was not strong.
There have been some good ones.
Some
I think there's
ones.
Only ever been one number one James Bond theme, by the way.
Live and Let Die?
No. That was number two.
All right.
All right, tell us.
All right, Jiminy Cricket, what do you got?
View to a Kill, Duran Duran.
Wow, that was number one?
That was the only one, yeah.
Love that song.
I don't recognize it from what you've just done.
The horn part.
Seeing you from a view to a kill.
So how the brass would go.
I don't even know what that is.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD are released. Here is what you can buy with your entertainment dollar. The Second Law by Muse. Their new CD is available today.
It's fantastic.
Lightning by Matt and Kim. Also available.
They're doing mornings over there on Big Mix 104.
No,
also,
I think you're confused. People Like Us. Chris Pine and Elizabeth Banks stars in the touching, heartfelt story of a man who meets his long-lost sister and they reconnect. Supposed to be very good.
Mary? Do they marry?
They don't marry. Oh. I don't believe they marry. Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp and Michelle Pfeiffer. It's also available today on DVD. New Girl, Season 1 is available in a box set. How I Met Your Mother, the 7th season. And Heart of Dixie, the complete first season. You can check that out if you missed
it. That doesn't exist.
Rachel Bilson as a...
yes, it does.
I'm sure Lisa watches
yes,
it.
Yes, I do.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Not interested.
That's a guilty pleasure right
is
there.
Is there nothing you will say no to when it comes to television?
There's nothing she'll say
show.
No to in life.
That's true.
Lisa doesn't have room for Sons of Anarchy, but she can't miss Heart of Dixie.
Heart of Dixie.
Whatever that is.
It's about Rachel Bilson as a big city girl who moves to the country to be a doctor.
Look how much Ralph knows.
Well, I know the slug line. I don't know. That's all I know.
And she wears really cute clothes.
What that
she wears
is.
Cute clothes.
Did you say she wears cute
she's
clothes?
Really cute clothes.
F you.
Oh, Kevin, look.
And shoes.
That's what you need in a TV show.
Come on.
It's all about the wardrobe.
I love her bags.
It's happening.
I love her bags, too.
If it were loud enough, Kevin, would you watch it?
Maybe.
I like loud TV show.
I never said that.
Kevin lost his key card again.
I did.
The card that gets him into this building. Yeah. How many do you think you've gone through now? How many pass cards that you wave over the secret electronic lock to get into this building? How many have you gone through?
I was thinking about this yesterday in shame. Probably close to 20.
That's
no
madness.
No. We've been in that building for what, about 12 years maybe?
Yeah, but I lost it in the other building. Like didn't we need it in the other building? I can't remember to get in.
Yeah, I think we did.
I think we did. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Lifetime, 20?
Probably.
How
that's
about
like
you,
one a year. That's like one a year for your entire career on the radio.
Time, the 15 years or whatever it's been, Ralph. How many have you gone through?
I still have my original key.
Oh, yeah. F you too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm still the same card.
Well, you've never used
shut
it,
up.
You
never
you
use
lose
it.
Yours.
I have to remember to bring it with me every
so
time
what?
I travel. And I do.
I have to use it every day and I lose it about every week.
You know why I've never lost it is because I keep it in my wallet, which is what something men do. Kevin carries around just wadded up $100 bills and a yo-yo and a frog and some jacks and some twine. He just empties his pockets every day. That's how he gets through life. He doesn't have a wallet.
Candy.
So that's why he's...
Does Linus have your key card?
That's
you
the showbiz, Beast. I'm Ralph Garman.
I'm fascinated by
no,
this.
No, you're like, not.
But once you lost it last week, didn't you go, all right, now I'm going to hang on to
no,
it.
No, he
now,
said... He said, oh, it's in the car that I crashed. It's in there. When I get that back, then I will be able to get in.
I wasn't drunk when I said that.
And so I said, all right, then you've got your car back.
It's not
still no key card.
It wasn't in the car.
It got stolen.
That's what happened.
It was in the car. It got stolen.
You hit the curb so hard, it flew out the window.
Now maybe.
Kevin, God damn it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Annie Leibovitz is 63 years old today. Bassist Sting of the Police. Legendarily, of course, big solo career as well, is 61. That's one of those guys who just doesn't age. 61.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Lorraine Block. What? Lorraine Bracco of The Sopranos and Goodfellas fame is 58. Tiffany's 41. Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite turns 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What am I doing when the zombies come? I start reading up on get some powdered food, plant some zucchini, and that's all well and good. But if you don't know how to fight, all you're doing is gathering supplies for the toughest guy in the block. That's funny, though, when you talk about getting a gun, you know?
Yeah, actually, you increase your chances of getting shot by 80% the second you get a gun in the house. Really? What, because I'm going to load it and shower with it? Like, you get a pool in your backyard, you immediately increase your odds of drowning in your backyard, right? You couldn't do that before, now you step on a rake, in you go.
I actually like Los Angeles. One of the few East Coast people that likes it. All my moron New York friends and Boston friends, they come out there, try to get a good slice of pizza at 4 in the morning. They can't. Like, this place sucks. It's not like exactly where I left. What's the point of traveling if it's going to be different?
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Burr.
He just gave away three jokes. Sorry about that, Bill. From You People Are All the Same, the latest Bill Burr comedy special, which is available for only $5 by downloading at BillBurr.com. Let's welcome Mr. Burr back to the Kevin Show.
Hey,
how are you, sir?
I kind of gave L.A. a shout-out. That was actually perfect. As we start off here.
It is funny, though, that when you say that you like L.A., people are always shocked because that's not what East Coasters are supposed to – that's not the conclusion you're supposed to come to. You're supposed to live here begrudgingly and complain about it.
Yeah, and wear your three-quarter leather, you know.
Yeah.
Complain about the pizza. That's right. What you're supposed to do rather than get the amazing Thai food.
But weren't you raised that way?
When I was out here in the late 90s, I was that guy.
Oh, you were? Okay.
You know?
All right.
I thought I was edgy. Carried around a dummy cigarette that I never lit, you know, and just talked about society.
Right.
And then I went back to New York, and after a while, you know, you just crush down on people and you want some space.
Yeah.
Although I'm not saying that there's no flaws out here. You guys are probably arguably the worst drivers I've ever been around, and I'm coming from Boston.
No question.
Yeah, I just can't figure you guys out. On surface roads, you have pot cookie energy. And then when you go out on the highway, you'll pass somebody on the right doing 90 as they're trying to get off. There's like no rules.
As the right, the shoulder is moving in, you're passing on the right.
I already flipped out today. It's like what?
Already
802. Yeah, everything was going great. Then I made a right on Venice, and then all of a sudden it was just like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, trust me. You're preaching to the choir.
You strike me as a guy who would throw up the bird and scream out your window at another driver. Do you do that, Bill?
No, that's the old me. I kind of compartmentalized my temper. I just made a rule, no flipping out in the car. I did punch the console today, only because it was stressful. I was trying to get here on time.
Right.
You know, after years of trying to build up a relationship with you guys, and you guys browbeating me, you know, I was like, I'm finally in with these guys, and now I'm going to blow it and be late. And it's not even my fault. I allotted three times the amount of time that I need. Oh, it's just the worst.
Yeah. $5
seems like the bargain of the year at BillBurr.com. And you are saying you're equally as funny as Louis C.K. when you make that price point. You know that, right?
Oh, is that what I'm saying there, Mr. Controversial?
That's what you're saying. Today's show said he's as funny as Louis C.K.
That's not what I said.
I like Bill Burr because he calls Bean on his BS.
I'm just saying, $5.
Bean can ask any question.
This is really just, come on, man. This is just attack journalism. You're better than this, Bean. You know, I came in here, you know, I was carrying a couple of doves, you know. I'm coming here to promote a wonderful new project that's going to make America a better country. And what happens? You come right at me. You try, you know, redheads are getting along better than ever. And immediately he just tries to draw a line in the sand.
That's Bean. That's his whole existence.
All right.
That's
what he does.
He
gets along with animals better than he does human
beings.
That's
why he moved away from us.
That's a major red flag.
Correct.
I accept your score. I apologize, and I'm going to rephrase the question and try to make nice. All right. So instead of feeding my children, I should take $5 and give it to your fat ass at your website, BillBurr.com.
I am in shape, and most kids are fat. So, yes, that's exactly what you should do.
The kid could skip a meal, and your life will be better.
Kids are all fat ever since we got rid of rollerblading.
Tell us about this gig at the Lincoln Theater in Washington, D.C. This is you've probably retired this act now that it's
out
there.
I have a completely new hour that was doing wonderful out in Jacksonville, Florida this past weekend.
Okay.
And I lived it up out there. I ate alligator, I shot guns, and I went to a Jaguars game. This hour, the hour I just taped was, I did it at the Lincoln Theater, I think March 3rd, which was one day longer than my 20th anniversary doing this stuff. And I had a great night.
Okay.
And, did two shows. And,
how long does it take you to come up with another hour then? Cause some comedians make it sound like it's work and work and work 24/7.
Depends on what you define coming up with a new hour. To be able to talk for an hour
is not that hard.
I would say that took me till about, about I did that in March. It took me about mid May or June.
Okay.
But
at what point do people start laughing?
This is how it is. Like, at that point, I use the old act, kind of like, you know, when someone's redoing a car and you buy the same version of the car.
Right.
And use that for spare parts.
Right.
That's kind of what I was doing.
Sprinkle it in to make sure you keep them.
Yeah, so if I start to lose them with my new awfulness, I go back to the polished awfulness.
I know that one.
Yeah, then I go back to the polished one, and then I throw that in. Does anybody else
burn it?
No, but that is my big fear, and that is what motivates me to write it. Because
really?
I'm delusional to the fact that despite the fact I've made $15 so far selling my special, I still believe the entire free world has seen the whole act and memorized it. And if I dare to do another one of those jokes, the whole crowd is going to get up in unison and walk out, and I'll be in an empty room for the rest of my life.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I believe that's called catastrophizing.
Yes. Oh, nice word. I like that.
Therapy,
because of the kind of act that you do, and this is comedian Bill Burr here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, BillBurr.com, just $5 for the new special, and it's terrific. Because of the kind of act that you do you attract hecklers?
Yes. So that's why I don't get mad at them. Like, I say things that are going to make somebody in the crowd eventually want to have an opinion. And I actually don't mind hecklers if they're trying to make a point. You know, if you're just like, oh, you suck, blah, blah, just making noises like
right,
those guys, get them out of here because, you know, they're just being jerks. But if I actually say something, you know, talking about how I want to get a gun and someone's against guns, I mean, that's not exactly like a mild topic.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm looking at him. It's not like I'm doing a play.
But you should at that point pull out a gun and point it at him and say,
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that in Jacksonville where silencers are legal. Dude, you should see in this gun store, they had him like, it was like cell phones. They had him in like this little display case.
Really?
So I go in there. I'm working with this other comic, Paul Verzi. We're in there and someone local took us to the range and we're, you know, getting ready to shoot and stuff. And this guy comes walking in. He goes, oh, Bill Burr. He goes, I'm going to your show. And he takes, like, a Desert Eagle and all these crazy guns. And I'm like, is that a silencer? And he goes, yeah, and you're shooting it, right? 2 seconds later, I'm up there like an assassin. It was the coolest thing ever. It didn't make that cool sound that they used in the 70s. It doesn't make that. It just kind of sounds like, I don't know, like metal hitting metal without any sort of lubricant.
But you can kill it. You can kill and get away with it, though.
That's
what matters.
Filthy. Oh, yeah, you could shoot someone in the kitchen while someone's sleeping on the couch. And as long as they were, like, you know, a heavy sleeper, maybe had a glass of red wine, they're not waking up.
Here's a man who has thought this through, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we must take a break. We have so much more ground to cover. You pissed off the Steve Jobs crowd, which I can't wait to talk about because I love that so much. You also got a new book out called Cheat, A Man's Guide to Infidelity. That sounds fascinating, too.
Yes.
Bill Burr is here. We'll return with more right after this on the Kevin Bean Show. Okay, Rob. Our pal Bill Burr in studio with us on the Kevin Bean Show right now. His podcast, of course, is Bill's Monday Morning Podcast. You can get that through BillBurr.com or iTunes. You People Are All the Same is the new special available for download on the website. And by the way, I think your Breaking Bad episode aired since the last time we had you in studio. And that was fun to see you on that show, Bill.
Oh, yeah. That was I can't believe I got to even be near that thing. So anything they let me do, I could walk in like Pee Wee Herman at the end. Remember paging Mr. Herman? I would do that just to be on it. It's that awesome.
Are you doing, is acting something that you'd like to do more of? Is that a direction you're headed?
Yeah, and I'd like to do it exactly the way I'm doing it, which is what I get to sort of parrot troop in onto awesome shows.
Into an existing successful show.
And then be there for 4 days and be like, that's a wrap on Bill. I see you. And then I go back to doing stand-up. That's exactly what I want to do. I don't have any desire to have my own TV show.
You don't want to carry
My free time is priceless. Okay.
Do you have a new show that you're setting your sights on now that you can check Breaking Bad off? Is there someplace else you're trying to go now? Like, are you going to be on Boardwalk Empire? Or what's your next victim?
I got a movie coming out called Stand Up Guys. It stars Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, and Alan Arkin. Swear to God.
Wow.
And once again, I'm in there paging Mr. Herman.
Wow.
That's a wrap on Bill. Thanks, guys.
Are you in a perfect scene with any of those guys?
Yes, I am in a scene, a couple of scenes. My scenes are basically with Christopher Walken and Al Pacino.
What's happening right now?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
is that possible?
I don't know how, because if that were me, all I would be thinking is, that's Al Pacino. That's Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a very, very small... Look, those guys have made a bunch of movies. If you go back and look at them, there's a whole bunch of people sitting around them.
Right. Like,
yeah, I'm one of those guys. But I am there. I am there.
You're
so,
in it.
I am
watching
there.
Them do stuff.
Yeah, those are my like, I want to do like those scenes in movies where you're getting chased down the alley and you make it to the chain link fence and you get halfway up and they drag you down and beat the crap out of you. Like that's
and that's it. Then
that's
done.
It for Bill, everybody. Yeah, then I go back and stand-up is the greatest thing ever. You just go out. What time do I go on? 8:20. When am I off? 8:40. And you go on at 8:20. You're off at 8:40. And that's it.
But you said your free time is so important to you.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all you have is free time.
Yeah. No, it's great.
That's it.
I play drums. I play guitar. I learn how to grill. Trying to learn how to speak Spanish. I'm having a great time. Why would I want to go and get a TV show and have people with clipboards going, you know, females in Omaha aren't appreciating this. You need to somehow try to make yourself more Omahaian, you know? It's just like, you know what? It's a big delusion that when you get your own show that it's your show. Even though they put your name on it, it's not yours. It's theirs. And you have to do what they want you to
do. Yeah, that's true.
And if you don't, in the end, they'll yank it, whether it's a hit or as it isn't. Why would I want to get involved in that?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, look what they did to Whitney, by the way, who's a terrific stand-up. And her TV show is almost unwatchable. It's not her fault. It's what they make her do, right?
I haven't gotten that close to the beast. I respect it. To me, it's like, you know, when you see one of those pities with the I'm going to rip your face off collars on it instead of a nice cute pink one like mine. I'm like, all right, I'm staying away from that.
I love that you sort of don't have a job because you work an hour a day. But on the other hand, you have a job that you have to think about all the time. I mean,
I've been on 9 airplanes this month.
Exactly. Oh, that's work, Bill. That is work.
That's gotten much
suckier. You know how many times I've heard the word expedite? Which I think airlines invented because they're the only ones I ever hear use that. If you could stand in the sink, you know, get out of the aisle to help expedite. That's right up there with kiosk as far as words I can't stand.
When did you have time to write a book? That's what I want to know.
I didn't. I wrote it with two other wonderful human beings, Robert Kelly and the teen idol sensation Joe DeRosa. We wrote this book called Cheat, A Man's Guide to Infidelity, which was based off – we made a short film that we got into Tribeca that was called Cheat. We set it up like it was a thriller, but it was really just some guy who wanted to cheat on his girlfriend. So we asked his two piece of garbage friends some of the tricks of the trade. And then the whole thing is you get to see whether he gets away with it or not.
And is your book, as the title suggests, a how-to manual on how to get away with infidelity?
Yeah, our version of it. You're basically, it's written by like, it'd be like if you read a book by three convicted bank robbers who are now telling you how to rob a bank. It's like they rob banks. Sometimes they got away. But they also
not
got
always.
Caught. So what it basically is, it's all a bunch of our friends telling stories of how they cheated and how they got caught, and then we break down the game film about what they did wrong.
Where did
and
they
all
go
that.
Wrong?
Yeah. And knowing full well that you could get caught. You know, we're not advocating this lifestyle, but it's really ridiculous the amount of people who engage this and then try to act like, you know, that they don't, you know. trying to have your cake and eat it is about as American as it comes. So
sure.
You also get a link to the movie, which is the real reason we bought it. This is just in a really obnoxious way to promote our short film.
All right.
And you get a link to the film and you get to watch it. And the film is hilarious. We got it into Tribeca. So, I mean, that's got to
like fun.
That's got to be impressive, right?
Absolutely. Cell phones probably trip up more guys than anything, I would imagine, right? Messages, text, photos, things like that. That's
yeah, and you know, you delete the email, but then you forget to go into trash and delete all of that. There's just so many damn ways. We got one of our friends. He got caught because he came home and he smelled like hotel smoke soap.
Hotel soap?
Yeah, she goes, you smell like hotel soap. Well, the problem was he had been caught so many times that she was looking for it.
Oh, well, yeah.
And she got right up on him. So there was all there's all kinds of ways. I don't want to give away too much of the book. The book is just the most honest, hilarious / horrific thing you're ever going to read. And in the end, you know, if you feel filthy, just click on the link and watch the movie.
And then, it's an ebook available October 9th. Is that the deal?
That's right. It's everything. Hard copy. Any way you want to get it out there, kids, however you're consuming it.
It's called Cheat, A Man's Guide to Infidelity, available on October 9th. The easiest way to remember is just a link through Bill's website at BillBurr.com. A break and one more break with Mr. Burr when we return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K
K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Bean Show at 20 till 9.
That's alarming.
That's not even at all annoying.
No.
David Swigum from Thousand Oaks, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. We just hooked you up with a pair of passes to Halloween time at Disneyland or Disney's California Adventure Parks. Your chance to win on the way. Bill Burr is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can buy his new special, You People Are All the Same. It's very funny. Just $5. Download it right now through BillBurr.com. I saw you on Conan the other night, Bill.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't believe the audience almost turned on you as if you were a blasphemist for saying something negative about Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
They did. Like he was Jesus. Am I right about that?
That's exactly.
Like, no one has ever said anything bad about Steve Jobs, with the exception of that guy who wrote the book.
Yeah, but that's one of those things you've it's not like I didn't know that it was going to be a rough reaction. I just knew I had to bring him around. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I was up there like, you know, what's the deal with people who don't use turn signals? I was, yeah.
So you expected that reaction.
My basic angle. I mean, I didn't know. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really even hear it. I'm new to panel, so it's still an out-of-body experience for me. So I didn't really hear the moans as much. I heard it a little bit.
They turned on you. They definitely turned on you because most of us go, thank God Steve Jobs existed because now I have an iPod.
I'm not saying he was a bad guy. I'm just saying that he had a lot of help. Okay?
Yeah.
People act like he was like, today I'm going to invent the iPhone. Everybody get away from me. And he just sat in the corner. Let me solder this. You know what I mean? He had a ton of help. And then when he went to the nerd conventions, he would go out on stage by himself like he's Doug Henning or something. And like he was like this vision. Now, come on. He basically told people what to invent. That's my theory.
Right.
It's just a theory.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
How about a little credit for the drummer, right? That's all you're saying.
Yeah, give the drummer some. Exactly. Does AC/DC work without Phil Rudd?
That question has never been asked before, by the way.
Do you enjoy the process of making a statement and then knowing that it might turn the audience and
Absolutely.
Then trying to bring them back?
Absolutely.
Is that the
you
fun
just
of it?
Broke down my entire act. That's what it is. I used to do it. Back when I was working in awful, like, hell rooms and stuff, it was almost like a technique to get the crowd to shut up, is you would say something like, I think Steve Jobs is overrated, and people would stop, you know, like, what did he say? And then hopefully you could grab him in that moment and then bring him around to your point. And then what happened was, I don't know, I did just eventually, subconsciously, consciously, subconsciously, it just kind of became how I was doing it. And, you know, I know that I don't read. Okay?
Right.
I'm with me all day long. And I never see the book come up to my face. Most of my opinions are based on passing televisions in airports and hearing
like... Not even at home. Just
hearing like 8 seconds of information. I just splice it together with something else.
That's how I work, only I'm not as smart as you.
Right. That's what makes you an American, Bill.
But
that's how we do things in this country.
That's what makes me a human being. Let's not take
That's
America
right.
down with this, okay? I've been over. I traveled through Scandinavia. I've been places. I've been there. It's the same damn thing, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody's walking around trying to get a sandwich. They want to find love. It's the same thing.
Okay? It is simple when you break it down.
Right. And most adults never reach that level of maturity where they can actually say, like, you know what? I was wrong. You're right. I need to work on that. That's a very small percentage, American or none.
I've never heard those words.
God bless America.
I do love, though, that you're absolutely right, is that you say something, whatever it is, and the audience goes, this dude's a dick. And then you keep going with it, and they go, but that's kind of a good point. And then by the end of it, they're like, I'm with you, Bill.
Yeah.
You tend to win people
that's
over.
That's the plan.
No, yeah. I'm just like that loud guy in the bar.
Yeah.
Who sort of makes sense for half a second. Then you realize, oh, wait, didn't he flunk everything in high school? Then you're just sort of laughing at me.
In our remaining moments here with our guest, Bill Burr, on the Kevin and Bean Show, who we always love having on. And every time you come in, we tell you how phenomenal you have been at the April Foolishness shows that we've done.
That's why I keep showing up. I
can't
keep coming in for
that.
The compliments.
It's true, though. But I have to ask, now that we've built you up, I have to ask.
I got to bring you down, because
yep.
it wouldn't be Bean if he doesn't bring me down.
That's
Let's
correct.
Have it. Let's have it.
Why can't you get a show on TV?
Why can't you get a show on TV?
Because well, he
you
was
know,
saying
I'll tell
he
you
had
why.
No interest.
No. This is the deal. Because it's difficult. A lot of people want to do it, and you have to be – you got to be good at it.
But
and
you're
but funny,
funny
man Bill Murr.
Bill Murr? Bill Maher and Bill
– Bill Murr.
Yeah.
No, you're funny man Bill Burr.
Oh, yeah. You just called him Bill Murr.
Look, I slurred a little bit. You know what I mean.
I'll say this.
You didn't slur a little bit. You said M.
Look, it hasn't been – from not trying.
How many shows have you attempted to get on the air?
But I have to tell you, now that I'm actually a draw on the road, I've come out the other side and I've been like, wait a minute. You know, I can make the same money on the road. I don't have to deal with all these suits coming up. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. In like 2-3 years, I might be so burned out from the road, you're going to see me on Two and a Half Men once Kutcher gets sick of doing it. Like,
you think you're the next in line?
Yeah. Or maybe the other guy. The other guy, Jonathan Cryer. Maybe sure. Maybe he'll finally just have it, you know, and he'll be out. And then I'll be in there.
You could be the kid. You look young.
But I will say, no, I don't. I would say, though, if I was ever going to do a TV show, you got to go the sitcom route. Just
sitcom,
as far
okay.
as the hours, man. You do that one camera shoot, you're sitting in a trailer. Yeah. For like, what, 14 hours a day?
How many times have you tried? How many pilots?
How many times have I
shows.
Pitched? It's countless.
Really?
But as far as like pilots I've had?
Well, no.
Pitched?
Countless?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, that's this whole business is pitching.
Right.
You know, not a lot of people like yourselves get like that one thing and you get to ride that wave for, what are you guys, 42 years in or something?
45 this
45
Christmas.
Yards in. 45 years in. No, it's a, you know.
That's how we get good friends like Bill Murr.
No, that's how you keep him, by showing respect for your guest to actually get his at least his first name right. Now
well,
you've
listen,
confused
Will.
Everybody. It's Bill Burr, B-U-R-R. That's where you can get my special. You can get the link to the book and all that type of thing. You know, something?
Didn't go as well as I'd hoped.
I am in here potentially going to be a one-third of a best-selling author triple team here.
Right.
And I don't appreciate you guys bringing up the negativity of my failed pilots.
Well, we're just saying. You said
fault.
Not interested.
It's not my fault. I kept going back to Comedy Central. They kept sucking me in like some battered wife. Like, oh, maybe they've changed. Maybe they don't want some hipster wearing a Mr. Rogers sweater and some black frame glasses. Maybe they really do want some balding, redheaded curmudgeon to come on their channel. I'll come back around again.
It just seems to me that your relationship to TV season is, I keep asking that hot chick out and she won't go out with me, so I'm going to tell everybody I wouldn't date her even if she wanted to. That's what it seems like.
I hate you,
but I love you. I hate you, but I love you.
There's some truth to that, but, you know, I would like to examine your relationship. Sitting up here, you know, with your animals.
Yeah.
Living out there and God knows where.
Next time you come in, we can focus on Dean.
When do we get to break down him?
Next time you come in.
You people are all the same.
He loves animals. He hates people.
Correct.
Just $5. You can download that from either BillBurr.com or BillMurr.com. Your choice. Bill, great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
What's the best thing about fall? Raking wet leaves? Snow? Uncertain weather? No, that's not it. It's AMPM's delicious pumpkin spice coffee, creamers, cappuccinos, and iced lattes. Stop in today and get your own pumpkin spice pick-me-up just in time for fall. AMPM, too much good stuff. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Gotta tell you, man, fall is such a nice relief from all that heat.
Oh, huh? It's great to have nice crisp air out there. Put on your sweaters, go out there and romp in those freshly fallen leaves.
Starting to feel good, huh, guys?
Oh, it's the best.
We're going to talk hoarders coming up next after the top of the hour with Corey Chalmers. That's going to be fun. Right now, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
Oh, that's going to be fun as opposed to this, what's coming up next.
Well, that'll be more fun than this. I think. No,
oh,
hey.
Come on.
Hey. Hey, Ralph.
Come back, Ralph. That's not what
hey,
he meant.
Buddies?
Come on.
Lisa, grab us pieces of paper
all
and
right,
do the showbiz,
wait,
would you?
Let me grab it. Hang on.
I don't think that's what we meant at all, by the way.
Oh, here he is. There he is. Oh,
just
yeah.
We look at that Lisa do it. He's
back
right back in.
Want me to do it.
No. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, now he flipped me off. All right, here's Lisa with the showbiz.
Wait.
Ralph will come back. Let's just wait him out.
Okay.
Let's just wait him out. You say he'll come back?
He'll come back. He's done.
He's not going to let a girl do the showbiz beat. Come on.
All right, so Drew Barrymore had a baby.
Don't care.
Olive Barrymore Koppelman. That's a nice name, right? Let's see. Kat Dealey got married to a comedian in Rome.
Hang on a second, Lisa. Hey, Ralph, you listen to this. Come back.
Yeah, Ralph, please.
Nope.
Not coming back. Okay. She married some dude she's known for like 10 years. They've been friends, and then they started dating. Yay. Robert Pattinson is the world's sexiest man, according to Glamour magazine.
You're bringing this, Lisa. I got to give you all the credit in the world.
This stuff is all new to me. Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Steven Seagal won a fight, and my money's on JCVD, right? JVCD,
sure.
Not how you say it.
I don't know.
Paris Hilton's boyfriend is in trouble because he
Please
was at a nightclub
this.
In Las Vegas, and she started making out with some chick, and he got pissed.
Producer Dave, do your job and order Ralph to come back in.
Ralph went for a smoke.
Let's take a break.
That's showbiz.
There's some people born today. It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
And then we'll be right back to talk Hoarders.
I want to be on Hoarders. How come I never get to be on Hoarders?
Well, I think you have to be a certain type of person to be on Hoarders. You can't just
I got to get more stuff. That's all there is to it. Hoarders has a smash sensation just returned for its sixth season premiere last night on A&E, and we are happy to welcome from 1-800-Hoarders.com, Corey Chalmers joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Corey.
How are you guys doing?
We are very good.
It's great.
Can I get on Hoarders? Is it tough? How hard is it to get on your show?
It's hard.
It is kind of hard.
I mean, pull the mic a little bit closer to yourself.
Sure.
The people that are featured on that show live in such horrible conditions. It was one of those shows where at first I thought, I don't want to see this. And then I thought, I can't miss this for the life of me.
It's a train wreck.
Train wreck.
Totally.
How did you get involved with the show? Were you doing this before the show? Did you come up with it?
Yeah, we've been doing this for 17 years.
Are you a
firefighter, paramedic?
A psychiatrist of some kind?
No, but I play one on TV.
No, but I mean, you help people who hoard?
Yeah, yeah. So we actually do two things. We clean hoarding homes and we clean crime scenes.
Okay.
And so about 5-6 years ago, the production company came to our company. They were going to do a reality show on our crime scene cleanup. So we filmed two death scenes in two houses. One just happened to be in a hoarding house. So when A&E got the footage, A&E said, oh, this blood is just way too much, but what's this house all full of trash for?
Right.
Interesting.
And that's where Hoarders was born.
Wow.
What's the psychology of hoarders?
Hoarding is just a symptom of any number of underlying disorders. The biggest one that we see about 80 to 90% of the time is depression and post-trauma. If you watch the show, you know there's just tragedy after tragedy, and the person just gives up, starts filling voids.
That's what they would say they're getting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You say that's trying to fill the void that they can't fill?
Yeah. It's a security blanket for them. It feels good, but at the same time, it feels terrible and destroys their lives.
And this is just like rich people who go out and shop all day because they don't have any interests, right? They don't have a job or charity or anything like that, so they just go out and spend money. That's their hobby, right?
Some of them are actually very poor, and they just go out and they dig through dumpsters, find things on the side of the road. It doesn't matter where they get it, how they get it. As soon as the functionality of the home is lost, whether they're rich, poor, black, white, male, female, young, old, they're hoarders.
Okay, there are lots of different kinds of hoarders, and the worst ones for me are the ones that that hoard animals.
Yeah.
You go into a place and they have 250 animals in their apartment or something like that. Those are the ones that really, really break my heart because there's so many victims involved. But there are other people whose houses are clean. They're just stuffed to the max with too much stuff. Maybe they have a collection that got out of control or something like that, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's many forms of hoarding. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's animals, if it's human waste, you're going to see a good one next week.
That's
good
the
one.
House is full of human waste.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
For a reason?
Whoa, hold on.
They don't.
Someone is saving their poop.
Well.
Or did everything just stop working?
Exactly. They're too scared, too embarrassed to call for help. So their plumbing breaks, their heating breaks, whatever the case may be, they resort to other means. They adapt. They're too scared to let the secret out, so they start doing it in containers and bathtubs. And we see this in about 10% of all hoarding cases.
10% of all hoarders do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's what I don't get. Here's what I don't get. Unless you're really mentally ill, even if everything you've said is true and you're embarrassed to call because your plumbing's broken or whatever, you take the bucket out back and throw it in the woods or something, right? You don't keep it stored in your house and then start filling up more buckets.
I couldn't agree more, but they do.
Who's hungry?
Oh, wow. Wow, wow.
Oh, man, do not eat.
Wow. So how do you begin? That's as bad as a crime scene. I was just thinking what a bad job it would be to clean crime scenes, but this sounds like it could be just as bad.
Yeah, a lot of the hoarding jobs we do are actually worse than crime scenes, to be honest.
Really?
They really are.
What's the psyche like? You go in, you try to clean out the houses. Clearly, the people try to pretty much hang on to...
They're having breakdowns.
Even at that point, they're trying to hang on.
Yeah.
It's the arguing with you about...
It's a chess match. It really is. You're trying to think one move ahead of them. They're trying to think one move ahead of you. And a lot of the hoarders we work with are absolutely brilliant people. So you got to remember, you're not dealing with people that are dumb and easily
stupid.
Be dealt with. No, not at all. Our top customers are teachers, professors, lawyers, doctors, nurses, psychologists.
Is that right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what? Tell me about the family members of the hoarders. I'm sure at some point they know about it and try to step in. And then do they just give up because they can't talk the person into changing their ways?
Yeah. Like when you see on the show, I mean, they're so difficult to deal with sometimes. The family does give up. They try for years and years and years. And you hear people say, oh, how does a family let them live like that? Well, they've tried. They've tried everything.
You can't force somebody who's an adult to...
You right. certainly can.
Throw away their poop.
They go in there and touch their stuff. You know what happens.
What does happen? Do they? Do some of them get physical?
Yeah, they flip
they
out. They really do.
Wow.
And it just, they give up. So they go live their lives. And we tell people that. If the hoarder in your life is not willing to change and they're just going to fight you and you're stressed out, it's an anchor and it's going to pull you down. It's going to destroy your family. You know, go live your life.
Wow.
When they're ready for help, they'll ask for help.
Now, this is the voice of Corey Chalmers here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about the TV show Hoarders on A&E, and he runs a company at 1-800-Hoarders.com. What's the company called, by the way? Stericlean, is that right?
Yeah, it's Stericlean. We go by 1-800-Hoarders for the hoarding division.
1-800-Hoarders. Okay. It's not against the law to have too much stuff. It's not against the law to fill up every square inch of your house or your apartment either. When does it become a problem? When is it too much stuff?
Well, it is illegal, to be honest.
It is?
Yeah, many cities will come in and condemn a house. There has to be, you know, ingress and egress to all doors and windows. There has to be electricity. There has to be heat. There has to be water. So there are certain things. And as soon as those things are not there and the city comes and inspects a home, they can red tag it and evict them until it's fixed.
Wow. Tell me about the space that is left that some of your clients have lived in. Give me some examples of how everything is full except for where they sleep.
Yeah, well, like last night on the episode that I worked with Alvin in Kansas, we were told by the family the house was full and he was living in his bathroom. So he had a TV and a cooler in there. And that's where supposedly he denied it. But that's supposedly, according to the family, where he lived out his life in this bathroom.
He didn't have access to his kitchen, so the cooler was his refrigerator?
Exactly. He didn't have access to anything. If you saw the beginning of the show, it was so full that the only place he could really get to was the bathroom. And it was disgusting.
How could he deny it then?
Well,
he denied it?
Hoarders are very manipulative. You know, they're hiding a secret, and they'll lie, cheat, and steal so people don't find out. It's embarrassing, you know, and we get that.
Especially if you're smart, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. It would make it worse.
But if you're a hoarder, don't you have to keep hoarding? I mean, once your house is full and you're living in your bathroom, you still have to go get stuff, right?
It does. It's part of the compulsion, part of the disorder. And if you watch next week, the one that I'm on, she basically kicked herself out of a house and went and moved to a new place. So I went back and visited the one that she filled up floor to ceiling where you couldn't even open the door, to be honest.
Wow.
You know, so sometimes they do. They just keep getting property after property after property.
Did she then start hoarding again? Continue hoarding?
Yeah. Yeah, the house that we went to was full.
Was she trying to protect the other one?
Well, she said there was a lot of valuables in there still, so we didn't even deal with the other one.
Wow.
You know?
How many, if you know, Corey, what percentage of people that you go in, you clean up their place, they get a fresh start, just start filling it right back up again?
If they don't go to aftercare or therapy, 97% recidivism rate.
Is that right? You just can't stop it on your own.
It's like taking a bottle from an alcoholic and saying you're cured. You're not. There's a lot of work to do. This is a very severe psychological disorder that can manifest itself in many ways, and it takes true therapy and a psychologist and probably a psychiatrist to figure out the real root of it.
What's the draw for you? What is so attractive to you about this business?
Two things. I love the challenge of it. And I love being able to give someone a second chance at life. You know, most of the people that we work with are the nicest, most giving people in the world. And they really just get stuck because of some tragedy and they can't get back on their feet. And to go in and create this great environment from this chaos and give them a second chance at life, there's nothing more rewarding than that. I can tell you that.
So you're saying most of the people had some traumatic event that they haven't responded from. Mm-hmm. They haven't grown healthier. What percent is not that? What percent? They just are hoarders. They just like stuff.
I would say the other 20%.
20%?
And it could be anything from people that grew up in the Depression era. You know, they were taught to save. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing. They're keeping everything. Fear of being poor. There's people that use it as a security to push others away on purpose. They don't want to see their family. They don't want to deal with people. We had a lady that was raped and stabbed. And so she moved to L.A. into a high-rise so no one could break into her house again. She became morbidly obese, so she wasn't attractive. And she filled her house, so if someone did break in, they would run.
That seems almost like I'd be afraid to try and take on that project because it's too much.
Those are the rewarding ones, though.
They
those
are.
Really
How
are.
Many percentage-wise go get help?
Well, I don't think we have that number. We know there's millions of hoarders across the United States.
But I mean, 5% that you help. How many of those
people? We go to about 20 homes a week in this area.
Oh, my gosh.
If we help them and they stick with the aftercare,
but you don't know how many people do that?
Yeah, one time we had two college girls come in, and they were doing a thesis on hoarding, and they asked if they could call 300 of our past clients. Mm-hmm. So we said yes, as long as you ask them some questions for us too. And what we found was 95% of our customers that stuck with the plan, therapy, we had house cleaners coming every couple of weeks, they would call us if they saw clutter coming back. 95% of them did stay clean.
But what percentage don't stick with the plan?
The other five didn't. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're saying 95% of the people you help stick with the plan.
Yeah.
Wow. Lisa's a dog with a bone on
her. Well, because it made it sound like if you stick with the plan, but I wasn't getting what the percentage
was. Yeah, and if you watch the show, only about half of them do therapy.
Wow. Okay. We have so many more questions for you, Corey. I'm so glad that you're here. I mean, it sounds like it's a much more widespread problem than we think. I mean, I watch Hoarders and I'll go, well, there can't be more than 100 of those people in the country. But it sounds to me like you're saying there are thousands? Tens of thousands?
Millions. 5% of the population.
No.
5% of the population.
Are hoarders?
Yep. To some degree. Not saying that their house is completely full, but 5%. 5 out of every 100 houses you drive by are hoarders.
Wow. Fascinating. 1-800-HOARDERS.com is Corey's number. We've got many more questions for our guests when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You got to have a pretty strong stomach to go work at 1-800-HOARDERS.com, I would imagine, Corey Chalmers. Is it tough for you to find people who want to get into this line of work?
It is. We actually get a lot of resumes, phone calls and stuff, but really what we're looking for is personality. Someone that can not only deal with difficult situations, but they can be sympathetic, empathetic, and caring and compassionate. And
so the opposite of being in every
this
way.
This isn't about me, all right?
I'm just saying.
I mean, there have to be people who think, hey, this sounds like interesting work and it's something new every day, but then they get in there and they go, wow, this is too dark, or I'm having nightmares or something like that, right? This is that kind of job.
It is, and physically, there probably is no more demanding job out there. We have policemen, firemen, big, huge, strong guys that come and work for one day and quit the first day because it's so exhausting. Wearing those suits, working in 100-degree temperatures, you're in a house that has no air conditioning, literally removing tens of tons of trash. It's
your
hard.
Job blows.
Are you making a nice living, Corey?
I am. You know, it's the company right now is expanding. We're getting into the franchise now, so all of our money's going back in the business. So money's actually very tight, but we're really looking forward to the future of being able to offer this service, not only in California like we do now, but in other states as well.
Tell me about the types of collections that people have. Lisa was telling us about someone that she knows or heard of recently who collects dog hair, saves all of their dog's hair.
Well, that was on an episode of Hoarders.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
What kinds of things do you see people collect? Are there people who just go crazy for Disney memorabilia or something, and they go out there and they just fill up their whole house with Mickey Mouse? Is that the sort of thing you see?
Yeah, we do. I mean, there's trash. There's zygomania is a trash hoarder. Bibliomania is a book hoarder. We see all kinds of stuff. We've had people that collect carousels, you know, life-size small things, and there's just hundreds of them. We had a taxidermy hoarder here in L.A. who had hundreds of live animals everywhere in his house. Every square inch of his walls, ceilings, floor were covered in taxidermy. Okay.
So no problem. Of course you can.
Female toy hoarder.
Okay.
I belonged to one of those of the month club for a while, so I was kind of hoarding them.
So, I don't want to live in a world where we can't say the word dildo on the radio.
So wait. That's all they had?
It wasn't.
Like you couldn't get in the door because of that?
One, it was a man. But two, they were everywhere. So every size, shape,
what
use you could think of, he had them. And it was just kind of bizarre. One of the ones that stick out in your mind.
That dude probably didn't want any help. Yeah. I'm all good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Last night's episode that you mentioned earlier, Charles and Alvin. This guy's house, Charles, was filled with thousands of nude paintings. That was his obsession. Was he a sex addict, or what was his deal?
Well, I wasn't on that story, so I didn't get to work. Right. But I heard all about it, and I think from watching the show, Charles is a typical hoarder. Obviously very smart, very brilliant, went through a very rough time with his wife, a tragedy with, you know, her getting very sick and then her cheating on him, and it just turned into this hoarding. But I think you can see he is brilliant, and he has a lot of skill. You know, a lot of people have been already calling, wanted to buy his art. So I think, honestly, this is going to be a great thing for him. They cleaned out his studio and his home. Now he can make money.
But will a guy like that want to sell?
I think he will. I think he has so much passion, and that's really important in finding, when you're cleaning out a hoarder's home, is not just to clean it up, but find something that they're passionate about that'll keep their hands and mind busy once you're gone.
Something else to be into, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think self-made pornography is the worst kind, though. Don't you guys? We weren't going to take calls for you, Corey, but Irving is online, too, and he actually does have a great question, I think. Irving, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Corey Chalmers from Hoarders. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Corey?
Good, Irving. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, here's my question. I have my mom's side, which are hoarders, not to the extent that I've seen on your show, but the extent that, well, my grandma's like the ones on the show.
Okay.
But my mom and my sister and my aunt are pretty good hoarders. I don't know if it's hereditary or what.
Yes.
That's my question to you. Is it something that just, you know, they see my mom, because I'm assuming my mom got it from my grandma as well as my aunt, and now my sister's doing it, and my sister got it from my mom.
Yeah, hoarding can definitely be hereditary. It can be a learned behavior from growing up in a house like that, but it can also be genetic. They've found an abnormality in the frontal lobe of the brain that can be passed down from family member to family member, and they've also found out that there is some coding on chromosome 14 on the genetics that can also be passed down.
Sorry, Irving. You're a hoarder. Call us when you need help.
Tell me about it. But it's like when I go to my mom, she collects dolls, a lot of dolls and a lot of clothes. Doesn't matter if it's whose clothes it is, she'll collect clothes. Like she had a friend that passed away. All that clothes came into our house, and she put it in storage.
Yeah.
She just doesn't need it. I mean, that's what's weird. I mean, that's why it's a mental disorder, I guess. But thank you very much for the call. We very much appreciate it. Is it more likely that you'll be a hoarder if you're a man or a woman?
Not really. We see it both. You know, it can start at an early age, but it does progress as you
get older. I was going to ask about age.
Yeah.
What's the typical age?
We see the most numbers in the 50s, and I think that has a lot to do with by then they're able to live on their own. Their families have all grown up. They've probably been divorced, pushed the other family members out, and now they're alone, and this thing can just literally explode.
Wow. Well, you've got a
full-time... I don't want the house of poo exploding. I'll tell you that right now.
You've got a full-time business at 1-800-Hoarders.com, and that's for people who want to call, who need this help for somebody that they know, right? And then in addition to that, you also are seen on the Hoarders TV show. So you got two different things going on.
Correct. And we're still looking for a few more episodes to film. So if anyone out there has an interesting story, go to the A&E website and you can submit your story there. Just go to aetv.com/hoarders.
And Hoarders airs Monday nights. That's when the new episodes premiere on A&E, correct?
Yep.
All right, Corey. Very interesting. Thank you so much for coming in today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, guys. It's been great.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Don't anybody say anything to Ralph because he might leave.
You want to play? Here. You want to smart off again?
Just sit here and let him
do you want to smart off
his little
again?
Report.
And now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
That's all you got to do.
There's Ralph.
Now just get out of the way. Stand clear of my toboggan. I'm going downhill. Oprah Winfrey's still the highest paid woman in show business. How is that possible?
Good question.
I thought when she got off our televisions, we wouldn't have to deal with her any longer.
Why is she making so much money? That network can't be bringing in that much. It's no one watches.
I thought it was failing.
Well, it's not doing great in the ratings, but I guess it's got advertisers who want to reach a certain segment of the population. Angry, lonely women with cats.
A lot of cat
food commercials on all of
them. Sure. Yeah. Her Oprah talk show from all those years, does she own those? And are
they? Yes.
That was done with Harpo Productions, her own production.
They're not in syndication at all except on OWN, right?
It's the
only place you can
see
them.
Yes.
I see.
And she's still got her magazine and her...
That's why she always made so much money, because she owned that Oprah show forever.
Yeah. $165 million is what she made this year.
Wow.
According to Forbes magazine's list of highest paid women in show business.
How far is that from number two?
That's well over $100 million
wow.
from number two. Yeah. Second is Britney Spears.
I'm sorry?
The second richest woman in show business is Britney Spears.
That's... shocking.
$58 million, they said. The $15 million salary she pulls down for the X Factor certainly contributes to her healthy financial year.
Oh, that was just silly.
Yeah, that's the best one.
I knew you were waiting for it.
Third, Taylor Swift. Tadoff Switler. Oh, let's just give her all the money to kill all those puppies and club those baby seals like she does.
I don't think she's doing either of
she
those things,
Satan.
By the way.
She's
she
Satan.
Is Satan. Third with $57 million.
Think she's surprised?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I have so much money.
I make money.
What? I never knew I was making money.
What?
F her. She was on Nightline last night. Of course, I stayed up late to watch it.
You too.
And they asked her about that, the surprise face. And she said, look, I'm never going to feel blasé about winning a Grammy. I can't just sit there and go, yeah, I guess I'll
go
pick
it up.
But
she knows she was nominated, right? They didn't pull her name out of a hat. She didn't win the lottery.
She's still
she's
excited,
one of five
though.
People who can win a Grammy in that category.
But she's excited.
Yeah, but she can't be shocked. She can be excited, but she can't be surprised.
Bean, we know you like her. You have to admit, when they put that video back to back to back to back of her surprise face.
Oh, she has a look. There's no question about that.
It's the exact same reaction every time.
But I also feel that it's sincere from her. I think that she genuinely feels that emotion when she shows it. And you can make fun of it if you want, but I think that that's real for her.
Well, let me tell you something about your sweetheart, Taylor Swift. Breaking news today, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that there was a contest going online with Papa John's Pizza.
Oh, right.
The textbook rental company Chegg, and Taylor Swift
that whatever school got the most votes on the contest website, she would perform live there.
Right.
Well, Kevin's people got a hold of the website, and the number one vote-getter was the Horace Mann School for the Deaf in Alston, Massachusetts. Number one by far.
That's great.
Which really is the perfect solution to the problem. She gets to perform for some people who have a disadvantage. They could probably like to see a celebrity in person, and they don't have to hear her music. It's a win-win.
She's cute. So they get to see her.
They get to see her, but they don't have to hear her song.
Oh, that's best case scenario.
It is, until Taylor Swift disqualified the school today.
Why?
Because they won't be eligible to get the grand prize.
Now, you told us at the time of the promotion that they did reserve the right to not go to the winning school.
Listen to
whoever
him
the winning school
immediately
was.
Taking her side.
So you hate deaf kids, too. That's what you're saying. Just like Taylor Swift, you hate deaf kids.
I'm not defending the decision. I'm saying we knew originally that this was an option, that even if this school won, she might not perform, right? And now you're saying she's pulled the trigger on that clause.
Why?
Bitch got no class.
Why would she disqualify them, though?
I agree. I think she should go, just like Pitbull went to the Walmart in Alaska. I think that's the game. That's what the contest is. Somebody wins, go.
The Boston Globe reached out to the school's principal, Jeremiah Ford, and he said his students love live music. Winning would make them very happy. Well, I guess they won't be happy because Taylor Swift has decided to cut them off. Nice. There's your girlfriend. There's your sweetheart.
You love her.
Oh, it's so much fun to just dash the dreams of deaf kids. Woohoo! Swizzle.
She's making handicapped kids sad right now. That's what she's doing.
She's making all kids sad right now.
Bitch got no class.
Bitch got no class.
I'm saying. She makes $57 million, but she can't go play for some deaf kids. No.
Singing for deaf kids.
Hate her. Did you guys see the video online of my buddy Seth MacFarlane talking about his hosting the Oscars this year?
I did not.
I did.
He broke the news via video alongside his dad, who's a very funny guy.
Is that his real dad?
That's his real dad. He's been on the show before on Family Guy. I had a chance to hang out with Mr. MacFarlane actually at the TED premiere. I sat down with him, and he's very funny. I could see where Seth gets it from. So Seth has a video where he brings his dad over to the house to break the news to him that he's going to be the host of the 85th annual Oscars.
Awesome.
And his dad says, that's very nice. I brought you some barely used bathing suits that I don't fit into anymore. And he's preoccupied with giving him these semi-used bathing suits. And Seth gets furious at him. So if you want to see Seth talk about his upcoming duties as host, you can find that online.
One of the things that you do not want as a hand-me-down is a swimsuit.
Well, he said, the dad says that he wore underwear on it, so nothing important ever touched the mesh.
No, don't care.
Just barely used, Kevin. What's wrong
with
you?
Just a little used is too much used.
His dad snatches him back and says, fine, I'll give him to Billy Crystal.
No.
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD are available for your entertainment dollar. New CDs, The Second Law by Muse.
Is awesome.
And is out today. You can pick that up. Lightning by Matt and Kim.
Haven't heard it.
Matt and Kim? I'm not familiar with Matt and Kim.
Hipsters.
Hipster douchebags? Or just hipsters?
No, just hipsters. They're good.
I'm afraid of anything called lightning, though. I don't want to go back there again.
Those days are the bad days.
Those days are bad. DVDs, Dark Shadows, starring Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Chloe Moretz, Helena Bonham Carter. How did Helena Bonham Carter get in a Tim Burton movie?
I can't imagine.
That is.
It's weird.
And Johnny Depp stepping out, too.
People Like Us, starring Chris Pine and Elizabeth Banks, also available on DVD. TV shows on DVD. You can catch the first season of New Girl if you missed it. That's available now. How I Met Your Mother, the complete seventh season, and Heart of Dixie, the complete first season, is available on DVD. Now I know what to get Lisa for Christmas.
Yes.
Heart of Dixie. You can't get enough.
She cannot be possibly that excited.
She's very excited. Robert Pattinson is the world's sexiest man.
Nope.
World's sexiest twink.
According to Glamour magazine,
you mean
they took a poll of all their readers, and it's the fourth year in a row that Robert Pattinson has been at the top of their list.
I have a question for the ladies, who I assume are voting in a poll. What did you say it was from Glamour magazine?
Glamour magazine.
Okay,
yeah.
I have a question. Is it a looks thing only? Because he has a terrible personality and zero charisma at all.
He's just dreamy and he sparkles.
That's why I'm asking. Is it just you think he looks good? Do you just discount everything else that contributes to an attractive person?
Look, I'm sure a lot of these women are Twilight fans,
sure.
And they find his character
hopelessly romantic.
Probably what happens is somebody finds out about that vote, and then they get all other Twilight fans to vote.
Yeah, and they shoot them right to the top. 4 years
Pattinson
in a row.
Please.
Here's the rest of the top 10. Tom Hiddleston, the Avengers bad guy, Loki, number 2.
Interesting.
Johnny Depp was 3rd this year. Michael Fassbender celebrates 4th. Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock from the BBC, soon to be seen in the next Star Trek movie with J.J. Abrams. Robert Downey Jr., 6th. Taylor Lautner was 7th. Paul Wesley. What did we say last time? He came from Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries,
told us. James McAvoy and Henry Cavill, who will be Superman in the upcoming film Man of Steel. He is 10th on the list.
So, goodbye the world of George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
It's a new generation, people.
John Hamm and all those guys that we think of as being the hunky ones that the ladies all love.
Although Johnny Depp at 50, still in the top 3.
Yeah.
So, it's not all generational. Ed Westwick is 13th. So Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood and Joe Manganiello.
Sure.
14th and 15th, respectively. Tom Hardy was 20th. Christian Bale was 18th. And Ryan Gosling was 17th. So that's what women think is sexy. Twinkie.
Yeah.
Gotta be skinny. Gotta be skinny and sparkly in order to get the ladies these days. Real men, not wanted here. Thank you, sir. Good day. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. One of my favorites, Sting, 61 years old today. Singer, bassist, of course, had a long career with the Police and then a popular solo career. Annie Leibovitz, legendary photographer, did a lot of work for Rolling Stone as well as other portrait work, 63 years old. Lorraine Bracco from The Sopranos and Goodfellas, 58. Bud Gaw, Sublime, Long Beach Dub All-Stars, 45 years old. Tiffany is 41. Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite, 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. It's a very busy show tomorrow. We have, remember, our little comedian friend, Brad Williams?
Sure.
He went to Lakers publicity day yesterday and interviewed a bunch of Lakers.
Oh. Huh. Wow.
Those are going to be some good photos. So
how could he reach the microphone up that high?
About
how
up to their,
talk to them?
Not up to their groin.
Oh, that must have been so uncomfortable for Brad.
Love it. He's the best. He's going to be in. We're going to go through those Laker interviews. We have comedian Jay Moore on the show tomorrow in the studio. We have Maggie Grace, who's going to be talking to us about Taken 2. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Weird Al.
What?
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 Bean's favorite human being of all time?
Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
I'm not sure that's true.
Does that mean Bean's going to be here in
yes,
studio? Because Weird Al's going to be here?
Yep.
How about that? How you like me now?
Not at all.
I'm not feeling I'm well. Just saying, carve out some time for Al and me to get our Christmas card photos taken tomorrow.
And the final pair of tickets for our Breakfast with the Black Keys. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.